This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the boss.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylist one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrocketing. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
PFW in progress here on a Thursday afternoon at Gillette Stadium, minus our illustrious leader. I don't know where Fred Kirsch is, but that can only mean one thing, and that means that we're in for a long show, boys. Yeah. Andy Hart, Tom Casale, alongside Paul Perillo. We have no Gary. We have the doc in the booth, which means we'll at some point be off the air.
Right. We're down to third string.
No offense. And we have no host. We don't even have the backup host. Who thinks he's the backup host? But we like to give him a job. Eric is out with Gerard Mayo, guys. First round draft pick is here at Gillette Stadium doing a press conference.
You say out with Eric?
Okay, all right, okay.
All of a sudden, the Mayo rumors start going crazy on the internet.
Well, I suppose you are correct, Andy.
Next thing you know, Law and Order will be doing a special on a rookie linebacker drafted 10th overall from Tennessee.
Gerard Mayo is here at Gillette Stadium, and Eric, among many others, I would assume, in the media with him. I would imagine Mr. Kraft would be introducing him, if not already, shortly. That was supposed to be done around noontime. So,
and Jonathan.
Jonathan as well. And be a nice little photo op, and I'm sure that all the questions that Mr. Mayo was asked on Saturday, he'll be asked again on Thursday afternoon. But
you hate this day, huh?
Well, it's not one of my favorite days. I wouldn't say I hate it, but
do you hate it more because of the way the Patriots do it, with it delayed rather than just Monday morning or Sunday or whatever?
No, I think it doesn't matter if you do it Monday or I kind of like the way the Patriots do it, and kind of waiting a little bit. I think you have the bump from the draft, and there's plenty of stuff to talk about when the draft is actually going on. The Patriots at one time, when Richard Seymour was drafted at 6, he came in right away on Sunday. Matter of fact, he was on PFW in progress on Sunday as part of our show back at the old...
That was a long time ago.
That was 2001. That was a long time ago.
They won a Super Bowl.
No problem with the way that the Patriots do it. I just... Like I said, I think you get a lot of the same questions that get asked on Saturday.
It really shouldn't be a question. It should just be the photo.
A photo op. That's what you want to see the guy.
Right.
You know? And obviously, rookie minicamp gets underway tomorrow. There are two sessions open to us media peons. Help me out, Andy. Is it 9?
10:15 to 11:15.
10:15 to 11:15 in the morning, and then around
2:15 to 3:15.
Two
afternoon.
And we will be giving you some podcast information, and as always, the place you want to be is Patriots.com if you want that first impression of what's going on. We're going to give you a podcast tomorrow afternoon after the second practice. We will obviously have some access to the players themselves in between, and Coach Belichick will give his comments in between, and we'll give you our gut first reaction of all of these guys on the field tomorrow. Obviously, they're not going to be doing a whole lot of stuff. There's basically, if you go with just the draft picks, it's all defensive guys anyway. So not too many offensive guys that'll be out there. But we'll give you our first impressions, and That'll be on Friday and Saturday. No access on Sunday to whatever they're going to be doing when they wrap up the rookie minicamp. But a lot of things going on around here. Andy, a couple days now to digest the draft and everything that's done. We still don't have any, before people ask, any official word from the Patriots in terms of their undrafted free agent signings. You guys have probably all seen them as well as we have, but the Patriots have not announced those. Any lingering thoughts for anything strike you in this week about the draft itself that maybe you didn't think of initially over the weekend?
I wouldn't say anything striking. One of the things I just said to you is Terrence Wheatley, I'm working on his profile for Patriots Football Weekly. And the thing that is keeps coming up with him is people seem to either love him or hate him. It's, you know, a lot of places had him ranked as their 21st, 22nd cornerback. People thought the wrist was an issue. People thought he was too small, and they hated him. You know, I found one CNN SI, the guy said he got beat constantly last year at Colorado. And then you read other people who thinks he has a great upside, and if it wasn't for the wrist, he would have been a first-round cornerback. So that's what I find interesting to him. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what we see out on the fields with him practicing and then as we move forward in training camp. But he seems to be a polarizing figure. You either love him or hate him. Obviously, the Patriots fell under the love him camp and think he can be a starting corner in this league. Otherwise, I don't think you take him in the second round. But I find that interesting.
Tom, anything for you that stuck out? I know that you've been working on the Matthew Slater pick, and that's probably the one that's the strangest pick of them all. Maybe I think that the strangest pick of the Belichick era, to be honest with you.
It gets even stranger. Well, you know, we heard that he played receiver, corner, and safety. He really didn't play any of those.
Right.
He came in as a receiver. He got injured. I don't think he ever caught a pass at UCLA. He switched to corner because of injuries in the secondary. Then he got hurt, never played a down at corner, and then became a backup safety with two guys ahead of him that were pretty good, then went to the special teams coach and said, you know, can I return kicks, try that. And then last year he had a pretty good year returning kicks. But as far as the, you know, we talked about the position flexibility on draft day, he has no position flexibility.
Right.
When I talked to his coach, it was he basically said it's kick returner, you know, special teams are bust because he doesn't have a position that he can really play in the NFL.
So he has position flexibility on the scout team.
Right, which is, and, you know, Bill likes that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, Ventrone has made a pretty good living by doing that.
Ben Childress.
But it's kind of odd because a lot of people don't make the team just as a kickoff, especially rookies. Like a guy like Larry Izzo is going to make the team because he can play special teams. But usually Bill likes rookies to do more than that. Now, I know Willie Andrews was a guy who's, I think that's the guy you're looking at he's going to replace is probably Willie Andrews if he makes the team.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a hard time because I've talked about with Wheatley, I kind of factored in his kick return abilities as part of his value. And I talking to his coach, he says the first place he should contribute is on punt team as a gunner and on punt return as a vice guy. So if he's filling some of those roles and Matthew Slater doesn't, they're not available to him to win.
Right.
I just find it hard
and
to believe.
He doesn't seem
play.
Like he's that great of an athlete. We looked at the numbers compared to...
Let's be honest. He went to UCLA as Jackie Slater's kid, and he's coming to New England as Jackie Slater's kid.
Well, I'm just saying, we looked at his numbers compared to the average at the combine, and they all stunk. Like, even like he has the 4.4 speed, which is pretty good, but, like, the cone drills and everything, it seems to me he's fast in a straight line, but he doesn't have much wiggle to him. So it'll be interesting to see how he does.
Found out all I needed to know about his speed when Fred Kirsch, you know, somebody was saying, you should watch his YouTube clips, and Fred clicked on it, and I hear Fred go, he's not even
that
fast. If Fred doesn't like him, there's a problem.
That's a good point.
And Fred's fallen back on the hole. It was a favor to Jackie Slater.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was Fred's first reaction, which kind of stuck out to me. Anyway, I'm sure you're listening to us and you already know, but you can reach us a couple of different ways. Webradio@patriots.com is the easiest. Webradio@patriots.com. You can send us an email or give us a phone call at 508-543-7482. Already on the lines, we have the phone lines open, Andy. Chris in the Bronx is with us. Chris, how you doing?
Already, he called at 11:15.
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Chris?
You were here before we were.
I was. I'm actually heading up that way, so I pulled off the road and wanted a break, so I can't listen, so I want to see how you guys are doing.
What are you heading up this way for?
I've got my niece's confirmation tonight.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. What a terrible time that's going to be.
I thought it might be something fun.
What is that all about?
Well, I think it'll be nice. Come on.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
Chris, I'm with you.
Your evening will have a great personality. It's not going to be fun.
I like my family.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm there to help.
So what do you think about the draft?
I'm okay with it. I think I agree with you guys that the first, you know, 3-4 picks look pretty strong, and then it just kind of took a turn somewhere. And I'm hoping that it's one of those situations where they know a lot more than we do. But I don't know. I think they hit on all three of those guys.
Well, Chris, let me ask you a question. There's been a certain talk around here that, well, in these later rounds now, the team is so good, they're not really looking for anything, blah, blah, blah. I used to admire the Patriots because I thought they were one team that in round 5, 6, 7, they were still looking for starters. They were looking for guys who could step in a couple of years. In the last two drafts, it just seems like, you know, after the fourth round, they get bored. And they're just, you know, I like when they're aggressive trying to find guys. I mean, there was linebackers, there's corners out there, and they're drafting a kick returner. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I just don't understand. I agree. I think, they haven't had much luck in the fifth round beyond Colton, but in the sixth and seventh, you see guys like Patrick Pass and Tully Dennis Kane. And
yeah, guys who have contributed. Givens, exactly. Brady.
Right.
At the very least, they'll work their way onto special teams, and then you know they can help out, be a third or fourth receiver or whatever.
Yeah, I like the guys you draft who end up playing special teams. I don't like the guys you draft to play special teams.
I agree with that. I think you can find guys that you know. And Andy brought up Wheatley and all the things that he can do on special teams, and we're wondering about Slater. But the same kind of stuff was said about Will Height too.
Right. Yep.
You know, he's a cornerback, but he should be able to contribute on special teams, too. So now you have a couple of guys that could be depth pieces to your secondary who can play special teams. They have to be more valuable than the guy who just plays special teams as a rookie.
Yeah, the only thing I was thinking along those lines, Paul, was, I remember when Ty Law was talking about how he wanted to return kicks. And I feel like if you look at Wheatley and Will Height, and Slater, those are three guys who return kicks for you, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they want to like get more specialized. I feel like it shows some kind of a sea change in the way they're looking at the draft. And of course, I don't think any of us really sees a ton of promise in Slater. But if he, you know, what is he going to be successful? And where would they have gotten him? Maybe we'll find out that someone else was really looking at him. But I didn't know who the guy was, of course.
Yeah, not too many people did. And as far as the kick return, I think it's clear they don't like how last year, how Hobbs was banged up on returning kicks, and they don't want to have Maroney doing it. I think they would like to have somebody they could count on as a kick returner who they're not counting on offense or defense.
Not counting on to the extent that they're counting
right.
on Maroney
like if,
and Hobbs.
You know, if Chad Jackson's your fifth receiver and can do it, that's right. Great. But if Chad Jackson's your number one receiver, you don't want to do it. Ellis, Hobbs, Lawrence, those guys – I'm not sure Matthew Slater is that guy anyway.
No, I'm not either.
Yeah. Have you guys seen or met any of the rookies yet?
Nope, that'll be tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Eric is getting acquainted with Gerard Mayo right now.
Oh, I see.
Mayo is here for a
photo op.
For his sort of introductory press conference, photo op. The owner will be there, kind of introducing him to the New England media. But
we'll have that audio shortly, by the way.
Oh, okay. We will have that shortly, Gary. It's nice to have the first string back, by the way. No offense, Doc.
I meant offense.
But
me too.
As far as the other rookies, Chris, we will not get those until tomorrow. Probably around lunchtime after the first practice, we'll be in the locker room. So,
and are you going to have a short podcast after that?
We will do it after the afternoon practice, probably around 3:30, 4 o'clock, sometime in that area.
All right, good to know.
All right, Chris. Have
Thanks
a good
a lot,
time.
Guys.
Enjoy the
Chris
evening.
In the Bronx making his way to the New England area to get ripped by Tom and Andy.
I'm not ripping him. I was hoping he was coming up for something fun, and he isn't.
He's buying lunch Tuesday, by the way.
Good work, Chris.
I love Chris, but I feel even worse for him that he's going to have a terrible night. You know, a guy that's buying us lunch, I want him to have fun.
You know, one guy I'm kind of interested in seeing is Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, or is it Ellis? I always get that.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Green Ellis. He kind of reminds me of a poor man's Jarius Norwood. Not they're not the same type of back, but I thought Norwood had a chance because he produced at the SEC level on a terrible passing team. And Green Ellis did the same thing, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons on a team that could barely throw the ball forward. And when you're playing against the SEC, you're talking about as close to the NFL level as you can get in college. A bigger guy, 220, can run in between the tackles. I don't think he's ever going to be a superstar in the NFL, but I'll be interested to see if he can make any kind of impact here in the preseason and things like that if he lasts that long.
It'll be interesting to see if he makes any sort of impact at all if he suddenly comes up with a hamstring injury and ends up on IR.
Yeah.
And he's one of those types of prospects.
Right.
And TG, I hope that TG and NJ, by the way, was asking about him. He was reading an excerpt from the Daily Mississippian on Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and it says, despite coming off back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, Green Ellis did not hear his name called among the 252 picks, but found himself in a good situation after signing a deal with the Pats. Green Ellis left Ole Miss as one of the most productive backs in school history after transferring to Ole Miss from Indiana after his sophomore season. He rushed for 2,137 yards in his two seasons as a Rebel and almost 4,000 in his four-year career. So I hope that he was just looking for anything that add. I hope what Tom and Andy said can maybe sort of add something.
He's been productive. The problem with it now, Paul, you probably remember the game, the LSU game when it was close in the first half.
That's when I first realized the guy's name.
And then they blew him away in the second half. But he had some good runs in that game, running over people. Now, the problem with him is that he's not very fast. He runs like a 4.640. He doesn't get to the edge very well. So he's kind of limited in what he can do. But I think he's intriguing because he's produced at a high level. And you take a shot on a guy like that, you never know what's going to happen.
As listeners can probably tell, with a cell phone ringing in the background, Fred just showed up.
Hey!
Now we have the whole first string.
How come you're reading emails already?
I wasn't reading emails. We were talking about someone that one of the emailers had asked a question about.
And the show is 20 minutes in.
And amazingly, it was a middle-of-the-pack email, and it didn't like really throw me off that I didn't have it all printed out and highlighted.
Wow.
I just kind of saw the subject line.
I got things to do.
Museum?
Things. I can only stay for half an hour. I got to go.
Well, get in. Why don't you get in the seat then?
You're not doing emails yet.
Is Ben Coates going to win in a runaway?
You know, I don't know. I think
he is.
Because no one's ever heard of the other two.
We should probably mention that. The three finalists were announced today for the Patriots Hall of Fame induction. The three finalists were Ben Coates, John Morris, and Jim Nance. Now, Morris and Nance, some of our more technologically savvy listeners might not be aware of, because usually that's a younger crowd, and those guys played in the 60s. But John Morris, by all accounts, was one of the best offensive linemen in the AFL and was a seven-time All-Star, and including Pro Bowls in the NFL as well as AFL All-Star teams. Jim Nance was quite simply the best back in Patriots history.
See, I think it's going to come down to, because the media has this information now too, and hopefully they're going to publicize it. I think it all comes down to how they present this, because I think if they make the case that, you know, Jim Nance's time is now, Ben Coates will probably get in down the road. But if Nance doesn't get in now or like next year with all the new guys coming out down the road, he may never get a chance.
What do you mean by media?
You know,
like print media
print
or new? Because I think the way TV will handle it will be highlights of Ben Coates. Also on the list of nominees is John Morris and Jim Nance.
I think print media will give you the background
radio
on everybody.
Right. Yeah, sports radio, you know, how they discuss
Trouble
it.
Is, Fred, even a lot of the media members don't know anything about these guys.
No, it's true. It's true.
I think Coates gets at least 70%
of
the
vote. That's what I'm going with. 70, 15, 15.
Honestly, I voted for Coates. So
I did too.
I'll let you know. You know,
I think that's.
I've never heard of John Morris until you guys said
I'm voting
John
for
Morris.
Jim Nance.
I just think, you know, and
I think he does a hell of a job on CBS.
I know the
it's a tradition like
I know
no
the
other.
AFL guys get upset and old AFL fans get upset when you say, well, you know, the competition wasn't as good back then. It wasn't. You know, Gino Cappelletti stood out, and I think you have to stand out like that in order to be.
Well, he was a center, and he stood out
among
centers.
Certainly John Morris did the same.
Certainly
thanks,
he wasn't
going
to score any points.
But as a center, yeah.
Well, I mean, you can only stand out at the position.
If
that
he was
you
a good running back, he would have played running back.
I understand.
He was considered the best 7 years in a row. So I mean,
as
that,
a Patriot, right? You're right.
I mean, that's standing out.
But Gino was like one of the best in the league, and when the AFL folded,
so
he had
the
most
center.
Points.
He was the best center.
Now
thanks,
you're on
baby.
The center before
wait,
you were against
whoa,
the center.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Best center on the Patriots, but best center in the league.
I thought he was a seven-time
Pro Bowler.
No, I don't know about that.
Fred,
did Jim Otto play?
Wait a minute.
At the same time.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. It's fine if you want to argue with me about stupid things that we always argue about, but I'm not. This is not an argument.
Wait a minute. You thought he was nominated because he was the best center on the Patriots for 7 years in a row?
This is not an arguable fact. This is a point of fact that he went to 7 All-Star games in a row.
In the AFL.
And some of them were in the NFL as a Pro Bowler at the end of his career.
Was he? I didn't know that.
Don't you go to these meetings?
And there's the guy voting for these things. This is the reason why Ben Coates is going
to
win.
What I'm trying to say, 26 and a half member committee.
What I'm trying to say is this is not my opinion. I never saw the guy play a snap.
Neither did I. But John Morris was an NFL.
Yes.
Not Hall of Fame, but no, Pro Bowler.
Yes.
Okay.
According to the nominations that were made at the meeting, which was in the middle of April, April 15th, as a matter of fact, tax day.
Well, I know Hannah thinks he was good, and other people think he was good.
Yeah, now, that's not, like, I can't stress this. This is not my opinion. That's just, you know, that's what the stats say, is that he went to, a matter of fact, I think John Hannah is the only member of the Patriots who's gone to more All-Star or Pro Bowls than John Morris.
That's right, 9.
Yeah. He's the only one who has more appearances than John Morris does. But that all said, I'll be voting for Ben Coates as well.
Yeah.
Because I just feel more comfortable knowing, voting for something that I know, that I saw.
I know. It's hard to rate
Jim
Nance.
And I think that's what most people will do.
That's why he's not going to get in.
Yeah.
I'm voting for Jim Nance. Paul says he's the best back in franchise history. I think he should
be. Yeah, he was the best. But, you know, now you're getting to what Fred's talking about in Patriots history.
Right.
And that's not really a great history.
Then he shouldn't be nominated. Is he nominated? I'm voting for him.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
Someone's got to support the little guy here.
Right. There's no perfect way to do this process. I think that a lot of time and effort went into trying to determine how to do it. I think years down the line, I think you're going to see some alterations to the process.
The problem is the ownership and the way the organization was run prior to the crafts.
Oh, absolutely.
If this guy was so great, he should have gone in the mid-70s when his career ended and back then, and you wouldn't be worrying about it now.
Fred, can I ask you a question? When Brady's up, is there going to be any other nominations? Because I feel bad for those two people who are on the ballot.
Hell no.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a shoo-in, right?
What if go out the same year and they're on it together?
Now, that would be interesting. But other than that,
I think that could happen.
It would just be a mockery if you put Brady and two other people next to him.
Maybe that'll be one of those where Brady, Belichick are on it. They split the vote and some third-party candidate sneaks in the back door.
That could happen, though.
Bruce
they could be up together.
That's not what I was looking for. Kevin Falk.
John
These
Morris.
Really are huge.
Someone sounds like that's a slap in the face of John Morris if you compare him to Kevin Falk.
All right, Freddie, we had Gerard Mayo here today. You interested at all in Gerard Mayo? I think we have some sound here. Gary has Mr. Kraft with Gerard Mayo. You want to go to that now, Gary?
Well, welcome. For the Kraft family, this is the 15th time we're doing it. So I told Gerard that when I started doing this, I had a different color here, but this business is a thrilling business. And meeting him, I realized he had good taste in ties, if you look at it, which I'm sure you'll all agree. And I said, tell me something that you think about the connection up here. And just without even blinking, and he didn't know I was going to ask him, he said, Kraft and Mayo go together. So I thought that was pretty good and a great connection. And I think Kraft Mayo goes very well.
All right. That's Mr. Kraft talking, introducing Gerard Mayo at today's press conference.
Hey, Mini Dan, did they have the same tie on? Is that the...
No, different tie.
So I didn't get the tie joke then. I just assumed they had like the exact same tie on.
Well, here comes our inside reporter.
One important thing and one not so important. Lunch and Eric.
Good timing. Well done. Well done.
Who sent lunch today?
Well, we can go right to that because that's our normal course of action. That will be Tony, and he says, "Gentlemen, enjoy lunch. I hope it meets your dietary needs, Tom Casale. Thank you for your draft day coverage, your blogs, and your post-draft evaluations. Tom and Andy, keep those comments coming. I am having a difficult time understanding how you feel about the bottom of the Pats picks. Seriously, though, I am optimistic that the team has improved itself, at least depth-wise, over the group that finished the season. I would like to see you continue the blog for the minicamp this weekend. One last item. I lost the name of the Patriot contact that you gave me last October when I inquired about loaning my 1960 autographed team ball to the new museum. please let me know. Fred, can you help that out?
That would be Brent Hensel. So it's Brent H at Patriots.com.
Brent H at Patriots.com. Once again, Tony, a wonderful spread here. I thank you very much for that, and the boys do as well. Gary, that can only mean one thing. It's the 12-28 break.
New England, what an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at Patriots extra points.com. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
4-0 New England! What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
BFW in progress. One big happy family.
Two or three plays last year, it could have gone either way.
Right, and I like to see that come down to the ability.
You like it come down to the ref?
You would like it to come down to nothing.
I'd like it to come down to, did he get 2 feet in? No, it's not a catch.
What's the difference? They got screwed no matter which rule you use.
Not if you were on the other team, you'd think that it was a great call.
Well, it doesn't make it right, though. That's your opinion. I don't think you're wrong. It's just my opinion is that I'd rather have the
really
ref make a call. You don't feel that strongly about anything.
There's a lot more we got to talk about. We're already arguing about this one.
I mean, I like
well,
when the referees have a chance to make.
You're getting all red in the face over catching a ball in bounds.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. I mean, what do you want me to say? I can stop
care.
Talking about it
but
if that's what you guys want me to
played.
Do.
It's going to be played under either rule.
Don't say it's probably about anything because that's bullshit.
Oh.
All right.
You're not supposed to say that, Tom.
See, I'm the one that's getting red in the face, but I'm not the one that's going off swearing about things.
Well, you feel strongly things here, but when you go on the real big show, you don't feel strongly
That's
about
a whole
anything.
Different set of arguments. You can be the big tough guy that you like to paint yourself as, so all the readers write in and say, oh, Big Tom is a tough guy.
I can't
guy.
Help they like me.
That scab just got scratched off. All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A little underlying hostility there or what? Nope. I mean, I'm sorry if some of that rubs you the wrong way, but I don't just go spouting off at the, flying off at the hip all the time.
That's
fine. That's your
fine.
Style. You can do whatever way you want. It's part of the reason why no one talks to us, by the way.
Oh!
Now, back to the guys. And that's no bullshit.
Oh. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. As Fred Kirsch likes to say, the gang is all here, and the gang really is all here. Eric the Leg Scalavino just came back from the photo op and press conference.
Eric don't like to be
I'm back from the photo op? The word I? Oh, none of you guys were at the photo op, were you?
Yeah, but you're not supposed to refer to yourself in the third
your
person.
Your name, by the way, PJ, when Eric gets to your email, that's why I think he's pompous. So you can call me pompous all you want. Just because I hate you doesn't mean that I think everybody else is pompous.
Can you tape this?
That's a
you
very,
guys don't know what that means when you get to
that's
PJ's email.
That's a very prima donna athlete thing to do.
I said I'm Eric the Leg Scalavino. Just came back
that.
From...
You didn't say that.
There was no I.
Eric, I'd like to join in, but I got troubles of my own. I ate part of a plastic fork.
Well, lunch is here, and the guys are still wolfing it down. As I said, I just came back from the photo op with first-round pick Gerard Mayo, and I believe we have the audio of his 5- or 10-minute Q&A with reporters, and we're going to cue that up right now.
Being able to come to a winning situation, I never thought I'd be a team that lost one game last year, but I'm excited to learn from some of the great vets and hopefully become as good as those guys are. I'm just excited. I'm overwhelmed, really. Just sitting in Mr. Kraft's office, sitting there talking with the owner of the team, it's just really, overwhelming. I'm ready to get my playbook and start learning this defense.
What did you talk about?
Just about life in general and how the process has been, and just being a Patriot now, the winning tradition here, and I'm just excited to be a part of it.
What were you thinking about as you were sitting there in his office?
How far I've come. Pretty much, from being a little boy in Hampton, Virginia to here now, it's just exciting.
Gerard, you know the success this organization has had. I'm sure you're very psyched to be a part of it. Are you almost psyched to put your mark on this particular franchise now?
Yeah, I definitely am. You know, whether it be this year or years to come, I'm just going to sit back and learn from the greats. The guys have been winning championships before me, and, hopefully they'll be winning them with me. So I'm very excited.
Gerard, what do you want Patriots fans to know about you?
I'm a hard worker, and I'm coming here and contribute to this team any way I can, whether it be on special teams or, as a starter. I'm coming to make a contribution and help bring a championship here.
How about the type of player you are? I mean, we see the video. We hear you played inside. We hear you play outside. Again, what type of player are you, in your opinion?
Hard nose, always trying to make a play, downhill, contact guy.
Some of the folks back in Tennessee compare pretty favorably to Al Wilson.
Al's a good friend of mine. I don't really like comparing myself to other players, but, he was a pro bowler, so hopefully I'll be able to, accomplish some of the things he did.
Have you had a chance to talk to any of the guys here yet?
Not yet. I just got here.
What were some of your first impressions just driving in here, just seeing the place you're going to play?
like I said earlier, I'm just overwhelmed. It hasn't really, sunk in yet or anything like that. It will tonight when I'm in the hotel room. So ask me that tomorrow. It definitely does. It feels like the first day of school. The day before the draft, it felt like the day before Christmas. So, I was trying to go to sleep at 7 o'clock, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm very excited.
A lot of people said you'd fit into the system here, but why do you think you fit into the
organization as far as the philosophy and how they go about their business?
You know, first and foremost, like you say, it's all about business. It's all about winning. They like to win games, and, you know, this organization is committed to winning games. And, you know, sitting down with Coach Belichick and, you know, him explaining how I would fit in the system is just really excited me, had me excited, and I'm just ready to get my playbook.
You know, not only are you a rookie, but you're the 10th pick in the draft, and you're coming into a linebacker core with a gazillion years of experience. Are you ready for what's ahead of you, the ribbon and all that stuff?
I definitely am. You know, I'm going to be a sponge here and just try to pick up things from each and every one of these veterans on the team and hopefully, you know, have a great career like a lot of them have.
Well, you know, you may be picking up their equipment too, right?
There's no problem, man. You got to start somewhere. Same thing as a freshman at Tennessee.
Or what's the week
like since you picked up Saturday? It's been pretty good. You know, my family's not really big, so I don't have people tugging me each and every way, which is fortunate for me. I'm just ready to get here and go to work.
Rob, what was your first reaction when you got that call from Bill on that day?
You know, I was speechless, to be honest. If you ask him, you know, it was a little pause in the conversation. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I'm just elated to be here. On my visit, that was it. That was it. Not yet. Hopefully in a couple years.
Have you spoken to any, just got here, have you spoken to any players? Have anyone called you up? Or?
Not yet. I just got here.
Right, so you're used to the SEC, so I'm guessing all these cameras and microphones, this is nothing for you.
You know, it's kind of overwhelming right now. Look, I feel like a little boy again, but at the same time, I'm just, you know, just going to relish in the moment and enjoy myself. So.
I did playing in the SEC help you.
You know, you hear that the SEC is like the minor leagues of the NFL, but, you know, if you come from, you know, college football in general, it's still going to be a step to take a transition period there. And, you know, I'm willing to, you know, take that step and work hard to make that transition a lot easier.
Do you know that Bill Belichick likes to service players large portions of humble pie?
I've heard, but, you know, hey, I'm sure I can take it.
What do you know about football?
He's a great coach, championship-winning coach. And I'm not sure of his style yet because I haven't been on the field with him, but at the same time, throughout my career, I've had all different styles of coaches, so I think I'll adjust pretty well.
Where do you see yourself fitting in on this defensive
team? You know, to be honest, I'm not sure. I feel like I can play either one of the positions, and, you know, until I get my playbook and sit down with the, you know, linebacker coach and things like that, then I won't know until then.
Did Belichick or anyone talk to you in regards to maybe what to expect or what position they want to see you maybe grow in?
Not really. No. They just want me to be a football player pretty much.
They gave you the generic number one hit, but then not yet on what your number going to be yet?
I'm not sure yet. I'll let you know soon, though.
Where'd the score come from?
69.
It is. I started off with 53, and then 7 became available, and I wanted a single-digit number. I was 10 in high school, and 7 was just available for me. So.
Any significance?
No. It's God's number.
Standing on this turf and looking up in the stadium and empty stands, is this one of those first moments where it hits you that you're in the NFL?
It's going to hit me once these cameras are out of my face, but after that, you know, it definitely has hit me, you know, walking out here with the crafts and things like that. And, you know, I'm just ready to put my pads on now and hit somebody.
Now that the whole pre-draft process is done, can you tell us which franchise, which team?
How did I know I was going to get this? I don't even remember, to be honest with you. I don't even remember.
You mentioned it's a little overwhelming right now, just with what's happening. Can you compare this to anything else in your life?
You can't. You know, to be honest, there's nothing. I'm trying to think of something right now, but I really can't think of anything.
This is worse than spring day with 100,000 fans watching? Tennessee?
I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say, you know, worse or anything like that, but like I said, I'm just excited and, you know, overwhelmed by all of this. So
that's Gerard Mayo, our first introduction to the, in-person introduction to the Patriots' first-round pick this year. Guys, any reaction to the way he came across, the way he...
Sounds fine to me. Sounds good. Knows more about the Bible than I do.
Saying all the right things.
He was number 7 when he played.
I don't think he's getting enough money. I mean, anyone that has to stand there and answer those stupid questions over and over again.
Yeah, there were a few repetitive questions to him in there.
I never get that. Like,
the people aren't paying attention?
Right.
Why are you asking him the exact same question he just answered?
Because they don't listen. They just, like, they're thinking about their question, and they don't even bother to listen to what's going on.
Well, that's part of it, I think. And then I think there are some people who think, well, he didn't answer that question before. I can get him to answer it.
Sure.
So they're going
to. You?
So, well, no.
But did you ask any?
I did not ask any.
It was a tough crowd. There were things I wanted
to
ask him.
But I'm going to give you a double thumbs up then, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too.
For not participating in the stupidity of all the questions?
Yeah, not adding to it anyway. I mean, there's a couple of basic questions that, you know, your first impressions of being here, you know, sitting down talking to Mr. Kraft in his office, talking to Bill. Beyond that, do you really need to know?
If anyone noticed him at the airport?
Yeah, anybody recognize him? Or
I could have been sitting at Green and I wouldn't have noticed him, or Logan, wherever he came into. Right? I mean, I don't know what he looks like.
I think there's four or five basic questions that you would expect to ask a guy, and then from that point on, I don't really think it's all that relevant as to whether or not he's talked to anybody since he's been here, knowing that he just got here anyway. You didn't even have to have him answer the question that he had to answer twice.
And I think he was the right pick, because I was just watching highlights of Keith Rivers, and every play he made was because of Cedric Ellis. I mean, they were just showing, like, his sacks, and either Ellis just missed the guy or Ellis was pushing a triple team into the backfield. I think that guy's going to be great. But I think when you look at Keith Rivers.
Yeah.
He had so much talent around him as far as NFL players go, where Mayo made a lot of plays just on pure just guts and determination, and I think he's going to fit in really well here with this defense.
So you're thinking that Rivers, a product of Rivers' productivity was the fact that he was surrounded by so many great guys.
The more we talk about Rivers, the more I think he might be a bust. Just hearing about the guys coming out next year and how highly rated they are, and knowing how good Ellis was in the middle of that defense, Lawrence Jackson gets drafted in the first round. I just think he might have been the product of all those great players. It's just a hunch. I don't know.
Are you thinking he's going to be like an Andre Bruce type?
Oh no, just not as good as some people thought. Like, he might be a decent NFL linebacker, not worthy of.
There was
the
a guy that
pick.
We thought, you know, in similar terms last year, different position, but Leon Hall from Michigan. Was a corner, first-round pick. Everybody labeled him a first-round pick. That Michigan defense was unbelievable with Woodley and Branch and all these guys up front. And we just wondered how good is he as a cover guy when every quarterback that drops back has about a half a second to find somebody. Now, Leon Hall had a decent rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say that, you know, he was a bust, because he's not. He's, you know, rookie defensive backs tend to struggle a little bit at the NFL level. And you know, he played. He stuck his nose in there. He was, you know, he certainly was a contributor. So I don't want to call him a bust. I don't think he is. But I think that's kind of what Tom's talking about. Surrounded by all that talent on a defense, you know, maybe he's good, and you know, maybe we just don't know. I liked what I saw of Rivers on tape, but I didn't love it. I don't think, you know, and I said this, like, you know, going back to the Kuiper thing with Andy, I didn't see much of a difference between those two players. I liked them both. I liked Mayo and I liked Rivers.
And the Bengals kind of need a difference maker on defense, and I don't think he's a difference maker. I think he's just a guy on defense.
The one thing I'll say about Mayo, and I know he's saying all the right things right now, it's his first appearance and the right answers, but the whole sitting back and learning from the greats, I don't think that's what he was brought in here to do. I think he was brought in here to contribute.
Yeah, but you
got to
say
one.
That.
No, I know. I'm just saying, I hope he doesn't really believe that he's going to sit back and
I
learn
don't
from
think
the
he does.
No, he
I
sounds
hope,
like
I
a guy.
Yeah, he's ready
at
to go,
worst,
yeah.
He should be rotating for about a month and then starting somewhere down the line this
season.
No
one wants to come in and sit down and learn from anybody. I mean, no first-round pick wants to do that. You say that.
I hope not.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I agree
with Fast Freddy on that one.
B-U-S.
What's he going to do? Say, Bill, should I be three steps away from that running back like Bruschi?
By the way, did we let our listeners know that Tom Brady was back yesterday?
Falling right under your deadline of May 1st.
That's right.
Well, I didn't know he was back.
I didn't either.
He's back.
I heard you say he was back.
Well, now, when you say he's back,
I don't believe you.
A, how do we know this? And B,
I'm going to come right out and say it. I don't believe you.
And
no.
Was it,
no,
when
no,
you
no,
say he's
no,
back,
seriously,
was he back here at Gillette Stadium?
I was told by the director of media relations.
What, did he have a wedding in town he had to get back for?
Okay, then I'm no offense to the director of media relations, but I'm going to wait and see someone in football tell me that he's working out.
Wow.
I agree.
No, because I think what Andy just said is a possibility.
No, he's in the building, not...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was probably in the building at some point 2 weeks ago when Copen got married. Is he in the building working out is what I want to know. That's
part of
that's
the
what
OTA.
Okay, all right. That's good enough for me. If he's working out, that's good enough for me.
Webradio@patriots.com is our email
address.
Plus,
I told you I didn't care in the first place anyway.
Plus, he comes on a Wednesday, which is an off day.
That's webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. The phone number, if you'd like to join in this discussion, which Mish in Montreal does, he has some questions about this year's draft crop. He says, hey, guys, my over-unders last show were way too easy, apparently. Thought I'd throw out a couple of tougher questions, this time true or false. So I'll read out a statement, and you tell me if it's going to be true or false. Oh, that's a very Eric-like explanation of what true-false means.
I actually thought thanks a lot, Mish. To the email.
No, that was his email. And he adds, Eric, you can stick to your usual answer of dead air silence. Number one, Mayo will start next to Brewski week one. True or false?
True.
I'll say true. False. I think it'll be a few games in.
I'll go true.
I'll say true.
Okay. Number two, Wheatley will start week one at nickel.
False.
Well,
I'll say false.
False.
I'll agree with you. False.
Start at nickel, so.
But you know what he's saying.
No, but you know what he means.
You know
he'll
exactly
be the, he'll
means.
Be the nickel.
He'll be the first guy off the bench.
The first passing situation, he's going to come into the game. Is basically what he's saying, and I'm saying false.
False
all around then. Not due to injury, at some point this season, Crable will start ahead of Vrabel or Thomas. I say false.
False.
Everybody?
Yeah. Not due to injury, there's no chance of that.
I agree.
Number four, at no point this season will Crable play a down where his hand is down at the snap. I say that's false.
I say that's false.
Because
too.
Given the way they
always
they mix things up.
Yeah, he's gonna play with his hand down.
Yeah, you can never rule anything like that out.
I wouldn't rule it out.
At some point this season, here's where he starts to veer off a little bit. At some point this season, Belichick will place tiny but powerful magnets in every game ball, making it nearly impossible for the ball to miss Robo Corner's arm.
True.
True.
Very funny, you guys.
You guys. I like how we called him Robo Corner, though. Six, Matt Slater will make the 53-man roster.
False.
False.
I say false.
True.
I'm going to open the year, although...
Oh, okay.
I'm going to reserve.
I thought you said he would.
At some point this year, I think he'll be on it.
I'm going to reserve.
You're saying he'll start off at the practice squad.
Yeah. I'm going to reserve judgment until I see him in action.
I say he.
Jeez, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, we can all do that.
We will still be saying the name Matthew Slater around this organization all year.
I wouldn't
long,
be stunned.
I wouldn't be stunned if he's on the practice squad. After 2 years?
I have no doubt that Andy's right about that. I just can't. I can't promise the vein in which that name will be said.
Matt.
No, I'm talking about it might be the punchline of something. Like, remember trading up in the fifth round for that guy?
This is a good one. Robo Corner will play more downs, regardless of position, than Brandon Merriweather.
False.
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 Ready?
False.
Merriweather's a starter, pretty much. I mean, he's on the field all the time.
He will play a lot.
He basically finished the year as a starter, if we want to use this whole nickel dime.
And he plays special teams, so you can't even get an out.
And I have news for you. If that's true, you got some problems with Brandon Merriweather.
Right. But
well, Fred Smirlis thought they were going to cut him before last year.
He was on record as saying he was going to get cut after training camp.
Since then, he's been kicked off the radio.
although it could, you know, if Merriweather's not one of the starting corners on the edge, and then it's a battle for nickel and dime spots between Merriweather and Wheatley.
It's not even close.
Then, you know, who knows?
Merriweather is going to be playing safety on passing downs. He's going to be playing all over the place.
I think Merriweather's on the field.
Whether he's corner or safety.
I mean, he finished the year as a regular part of their sub defense.
And he'll make a good jump this year.
You would think so.
But that usually is what happens.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm with Freddie.
And he'll make a good jump this
year. But I'm with Freddie on that one. Usually you see that year two jump is significant.
All right.
Today's May 1st, by the way.
And I thought he had a significant jump from the beginning of the year to the end.
So did I. I think he showed me enough besides the worst hand beside of Will Allen.
Frog Kirsch. But today's May 1, and clearly somebody told you he'll be here April 30th.
Nobody told me that.
Yeah.
Freddie, you okay?
Because it was just normal to expect him to come in on a Wednesday.
Right.
Or a Thursday.
It's normal for me to expect him to come in when the rookies came in. That's what I based it on.
It's funny. You didn't tell us that before either. So he normally comes when the rookies come?
Actually, I think he did say that once
Damn
before,
right.
And we got on him for saying that, yeah. Saying, why is he here when the rookies are here? Why isn't he here when the
Eric,
rest of the
if you add up all the things that they got on me for saying and then ended up being true, it'd
you'd
be
have
ridiculous.
Two.
I'm worried.
You'd have two.
I got another one.
Wes Welker and this.
Wow. Fred.
And Robbie Gould, three.
He threw down his headphones and he's sleeping.
He is.
And
Fred
that,
putting in a very Eric-like sulking performance.
And with that, he's out after throwing away half the lunch that he got.
Wow.
You're terrible. You're off the list.
Oh,
that 30-pound burger ought to do the trick.
Oh, my God. Yesterday, he ate a burger with bacon on it, every appetizer that passed by his face, but then turned down dessert. I got to lose that weight.
Yeah. All right, three more of these. By week 17, Hobbs will no longer be in the top two on the depth chart.
False.
False.
Did you say false? False. Okay, I didn't hear you. By week four, Bo Rude will be on another team's active roster.
False.
And Tom,
you're on the Patriots.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Mm-hmm. You're going out this early on the limb?
Mm-hmm.
It's because you just talked to his coach already?
I told you. That's what happens every year. Uh-huh. That's what I talked about on Tuesday. You talk to the coach, and the guy's going to be in the next Pro Bowl.
If, if you go by that, Garrett Mills ought to be making his third Pro Bowl, according
Absolutely.
To me.
All right. I had Justice Harrison making plays.
I would like to go back and figure out all the sixth and seventh round guys that I've done the profile for over the years. And it's amazing how many of them ended up making the team. I had Givens.
Did you have Brady?
No, I don't think I did have Brady. I think Chain had Brady, if I remember correctly.
Luckily, Matthew Slater's coach thought he stunk, so I don't have to worry about that.
I had Willie Andrews, though. He made the team.
Did you?
Patrick Pass I had. He made the team. Pretty sure I had Givens.
Wow. Oh. Okay. We'll see. Bo Rude, that's Paul's prediction. And the last one, I'm going with True on this one. By week 8, Kevin O'Connell will be dating the 18-year-old cheerleader behind Castle's back. I'm going to go
with Castle
True.
Will all be here.
Oh, you know what? I didn't factor that in, Tom. You're right.
Why, is Castle dating her?
No, Castle's married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he'll be doing better than that.
Or he could have written Casale and you could have read it that way.
Yeah, I could have.
Wow.
It was
Casale.
Oh, I got you. That's what threw me off.
Did I say Castle?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was in between you normally, calling yourself Eric the Leg.
Normally, I would know what you're talking about, but there happens to be a guy on this team named Castle.
Hey, all right. Someone's got a problem with you, Andy.
You know what I noticed about you?
What's that?
You're pretty good as a host when Fred's here. Then when Fred leaves, it's like you're trying to impress Fred. Pretend Fred's still here.
I thought Fred was still here. He just wasn't saying anything. He was acting like me over there before. Did you see him? He was all sulky.
Yeah, he's got stuff on his mind.
God almighty. All right, Pratt from Germantown, Maryland has issues with Andy Hart. Says, I've been noticing that there's more and more talk about Brady's future being uncertain after the next three seasons, and on Tuesday's podcast, you couldn't help yourself, and you had to be negative and say, Brady's due for an injury, since he has successfully avoided it thus far.
I actually believe that. That wasn't me being negative or anything else. I believe that quarterbacks that go years and years and years without injury are due for injury because I think every quarterback in the NFL, for the most part, gets hurt.
And what would be the worst nightmare?
He got hurt. He just took a lot of drugs, so he didn't feel it.
The worst nightmare for the NFL in that vein.
Is Manning and Brady both go down
in
like
the
week
first,
two?
In the first month. Yeah, they're out for the year in the first month. There's like no like real intrigue to the
Imagine
NFL
CBS.
Season.
Their rating. Won't be seeing any of those releases. The Patriots Colts were the highest rated show ever.
Well, yeah, he used the example of Peyton Manning.
Right.
Being
I think he's
you
due
know,
too.
Being, yeah. I
the
mean,
one difference being Peyton Manning doesn't get hit like Tom Brady.
Not nearly as much.
Peyton Manning, because of his quick release, because of the offensive line, because of the timing of that offense, doesn't take half the hits that Tom Brady does. Tom Brady 2 years ago, when was the grimace-inducing season?
That was 2005, I think.
Well, 3 years
the
ago,
the grimace-inducing
whatever.
Season?
He took hits that he should not
Andy
have gotten
likes,
up from.
Andy likes to put, I don't even know the part of speech because I'm an idiot, but he likes
know,
to
like
put
your,
ING
the
on
leads
top.
The leads to your stories would go as
I was,
bullet-inducing
I was,
vomit-inducing.
Oh, okay. I was doing editing that week because Andy wasn't here, and I just circled it with a question mark. I had no idea what it was.
Well, Pratt says he loved our draft coverage. We are the best when it comes to that.
That
says.
Was all you had? I thought it was somebody was really mad at me for something.
Well, he went on and on, but we kind of already argued his point already. So
what else did he have? Nothing.
That about Peyton Manning has played all these years, and you know, do we have confidence in that he's not going
to
stand?
No.
Up
so I see. I think sooner or later, you know, the odds catch up to you because the one thing that Andy said that I will disagree with a little bit is I think Manning's taken a lot of big hits too over the years.
Never
he has.
Like
Brady? You don't, but you, well,
it's after,
I
it's after the throw.
A game
you
with the Colts, I never see him get
but you don't
after,
see
it's after he, the throw.
You
usually.
Don't see it every
Those
game.
Be
that's
penalties
what.
Then.
But you don't see it every game the way we do with Brady. We've seen,
no,
we've seen every single time Brady's taken
I've
a big
watched
hit.
Enough Colts games where I never see him get
he's
hit.
He's taken some big hits and the guy never seems to get hurt. And I think at some point.
Well, he's more due than
the odds,
because he doesn't
you know,
have
the averages have to
side.
Even out.
Well, how did Favre last all those years taking
I think Andy explained that one to you.
The only thing
you really
I would
think
say,
that's what it was?
No, he I know he was addicted to painkillers.
And he played a lot
he
of
was
games.
In the beginning of his career, but you think he was still on that in
yeah.
the
but
latter
but he also
half?
Played a lot of games in a, you know, a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Right. He's, I think there was, you know,
and Brady
a special
has too.
Aspect
I'm not going to say he hasn't. I think to have those types of streaks, you play through pain. It's not like he's never had any issue to deal with.
Certainly the separated shoulder at the end of the 0-2 season that everybody says he wouldn't have played in the playoffs had they made it, which I don't believe. You know, that was a significant injury that he played through.
I think with Manning, I've seen games where he's been beat up pretty bad. San Diego this year, Pittsburgh in the playoffs a couple years ago. But I just think his offensive line's been better. Like when you had a Tarik Glenn on the left side, he doesn't get beat as much as Matt Light does. And I think that's one of the reasons why it definitely seems like Brady gets hit more, because I think the Colts offensive line, maybe not right this second, right, but throughout the years, has been better than the Patriots.
And the offense has been better, so they weren't, you know, you couldn't blitz as much. A couple years ago, they were blitzing the Patriots left and right,
that
blowing through Brady's back.
I've never, I mean, maybe it was just because I was here, but that grimace-inducing season,
I can't believe he took a lot of heavy shots. Now, I'm not saying Brady took, I mean, Manning has taken that kind of punishment. I just think that on a whole, you know, averaged out, I think that Manning has taken a lot of hits, too. I think Brady might take more, but
Brady takes some vicious shots.
I don't think there's much of a difference as you think.
He's Gumby. He gets up from here.
It's amazing. It's amazing that they've been able to get up after
all this. Now, Pratt, are these guys being negative, too, saying he gets up from a lot of hits, so he might be due for injury?
I don't think he's due for injury.
I'm amazed that
you're an idiot.
I'm amazed that both he and Manning have lasted this far, honestly.
Is he on the cover of Madden?
No.
Thank you.
He's behind Mike Lombardi.
That's another thing, too. I still am not convinced that Favre is calling it quits.
Neither is Favre.
That's my point. You're making my point.
If I'm the Packers,
Well, actually, Favre is making your point.
Yes.
He keeps saying, I haven't really closed the book.
Come training camp, we'll see what happens.
If I'm the Packers, I'm moving on.
Well, I would think they are.
I think they drafted.
Well,
right,
yeah, now they have two first-round picks two early picks. I think that door has been closed for Green Bay. But
assuming he doesn't come back, I say Brohm wins that job as a rookie.
I don't think so.
I say Brian Brohm.
Yeah, it's Brohm.
I really don't like him.
But I would just say he's so far behind right now. Rodgers has been there for a couple years. So this is a team that went to the NFC Championship game last year. I just don't see them starting the year with a rookie. Now, if they put Rodgers in there and they're 1-5, yeah, okay. But I think you got to go with a guy that's been there and give him a chance.
Webradio at patriots.com. Email address, phone number, 508-543-7482. Steven in Portland says, I just wanted to say I enjoyed the draft show this weekend. Not been able to listen in a while, so it was great to hear all you guys again. Really enjoyed your expert analysis, especially when Andy, the big head Hart, said, I think the Pats will go either offense or defense on their next pick. Or maybe they'll just go for special teams.
Absolutely.
Well, that expert analysis made him look like a genius when the Pats picked Jackie Slater's kid,
right,
since it covered all three positions.
I think that's why we didn't make fun of you that much, because they actually didn't pick what you said with the only two options.
Tell you why I won't defend myself, because zero recollection.
And he finishes with, of course,
I'm concerned, Andy. Now I'm getting concerned for you.
Of course, I'm just kidding, Andy. And keep up the gay Eric jokes. They're always good for a laugh. You guys are great. Keep up the good work. I've got to give a little props to Eric, though. I thought his breakdown of players drafted was insightful. Well, thank you, Steven.
I think he added that.
And I it's right here if you want to come read it there, big fella.
What players drafted?
The players we drafted on Sunday, or on Saturday, guy.
You wrote something about that?
I think he's talking about our radio coverage.
Oh.
Well, now I know you're
you said something?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, now I was there for those 3 hours, and I know that's not true because you didn't say anything.
Did you see the Giants went to the White House this week?
I saw that, and Tom was talking about it earlier, that W made a crack about Jessica Simpson.
Oh, hot. That was good timing, Gene.
Nice, very nice. Robin Arlington has a few questions. Says, hey,
there was a bunch of clips scrolling through, by the way, of back when the Patriots used to go to White Houses.
Who's at the door, Gary?
Hi, everybody. This is Butch Stearns from Fox 25. What is Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary word of the day? Stick around. We'll tell you.
Wow. Now he's got teases.
Thank God, because I was caught with my pants down.
That might be a local joke that a lot of people don't get, but Butch Stearns has the worst teases in the history of TV. He's always teasing his sports.
He's had a lot of worsts, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like when he wrote, what did he write? 38-year-old cornerback Ty Law is about to re-sign with the team, and he's 34. And
hasn't signed yet.
And, yeah, that was a week and a half ago. And the best part of that is we all know how much we like to laugh at Butch Stearns. Well, the next day I read a story from Hector Longo saying, Ty Law's return to New England, one of the worst-kept secrets in town. And I'm thinking, he's not back. I don't think he's going to be back. I feel less likely by the day, not
especially
more.
Especially after they drafted a couple of cornerbacks.
Right.
I agree with that.
Although they do have that Tim Mixon slot to fill.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what you mean. TJ Slaughter isn't going to make the impact
He's not going to start.
You missed this yesterday.
He said at least three times, TJ Slaughter cut. Wow. What do you guys think of that? Or like, what? Who? No, he didn't play last year. Who cares? They needed a warm body. They found a different warm body, and he's out.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
Only in New England can they sign guys that have been out of football for a year, and they automatically assume they're going to get an Artrell Hawkins.
The Saints used to have a St. Bernard on their sideline?
Sure.
That's great. I love live mascots.
That's a good mascot.
They should go back to that dog.
That's a good mascot.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I want the real one, too. I like all those colleges that have a buffalo, that have a...
Well, there's nothing like Ralphie the buffalo.
They should have a base bound.
I'll go when he snaps at people near the sideline.
That elephant up at Tufts was awesome.
Where'd you go to school, fat mouth?
You have the fat mouth. What are you calling him that for? Yeah. Fat head, the fat mouth.
Where'd you go to school? Did you go to college?
Yes.
Your mom goes to college.
Where?
Bridgewater State College.
What's their mascot?
I believe we're the Bears.
He believes?
You believe?
I didn't play
anything. How long were you there?
The Jumbo is one of the top 25 mascots of all time, according to Sports Illustrated. Suck it.
I'm not taking a shot at just saying an elephant on the sideline.
We did not have a live elephant on the sideline.
Well, you were there. Oh, see, he gets all mad when the jokes are on him.
It just wasn't
he?
Funny. When other people make funny jokes, I laugh. Yours was stupid.
I didn't really get it.
Well, you're agreeing with him?
Absolutely.
I stuck up for you, and you're agreeing with him. Friggin' turn.
Right. Instead, he gets mad when it's about you. He gets mad when they're not funny. That's right.
I'm all about funny.
Great. Last time I stick up for you, Gary. Anyway, when Fred was on here before, did he promote the fact that the Hall of Fame voting starts today?
Yes.
We did.
He did, okay.
And he claims that John Morris should be in because for 7 years he was the best Patriots center.
All right. Well,
he said he shouldn't be in because he was just the Patriots' best center.
Rob in Arlington, Virginia has three questions for us. The first of which of the finalists is most deserving for Patriots Hall of Fame? Ben Coates, John Morris, or Jim Nance? It's Coates, hands down.
It's personal preference. Some old guy might think John Morris was phenomenal. That used to kill people.
How many old guys do you think are going to be voting?
Not many. That's why he's going to lose. But
is he asking who's going to win? Because if he's asking who's going to win, it's hands down. It's going to be 80+%
his
votes.
His verbiage is most deserving.
Well, most deserving, I think, is certainly open for interpretation, and I'm not really qualified to make the determination. I heard the arguments for Nance and for John Morris, and I would certainly think those guys are every bit as qualified as Ben Coates, if not more so. But I didn't see those guys play a snap of football, and I have no idea. Ben Coates was an excellent, excellent football player for the Patriots for the better part of a decade.
An overachiever, too. I mean, wasn't he a...
fifth-round pick out of a tiny Livingstone college.
Right?
It's funny. I'm watching endless clips on... This special must be on mascots, and every other team has something on a motorbike, a four-wheeler.
We have people
jumping
with guns.
Through things.
We have people with guns.
We got volunteer losers with guns.
Yeah.
Yes.
No offense to any of those losers that may or may not be listening at this point.
And have guns
right now.
They shoot circles of smoke. I'm pretty sure I can avoid a circle
even
of smoke.
Even that Viking guy was riding
a
four-wheeler.
Though.
Yeah.
Gary, can we get him a four-wheeler? Something, a Segway, anything motorized?
A Segway would be funny.
Eat boogers, is that to say?
Can we get him something? Because for once, it'd be nice if the Patriots were represented on one of these shows about pregame entertainment.
I'm not responsible for
you're the director of in-house entertainment.
Not about that.
What?
All right, it's not going to happen. Move on.
It's not his decision.
Rob's second question
is more.
It seems.
Why
sounds
is
like
everything
more...
around here first class except the freaking game day presentation? Isn't that their business?
I thought you were going to say, why does everybody around here pass the buck?
Very well
what else is first class?
This sounds like a Tom Casale
question. The mall, the stadium, everything's beautiful. Paul.
Why wasn't?
House?
Can you shut up?
Shut up!
I agree with the field.
God Almighty, Andy! Why wasn't Gary Guyton drafted?
In a bunch.
Why wasn't Gary Guyton drafted? Does he look like Tarzan? Play like Jane? That's his question.
There's a lot of guys who weren't drafted. I mean, why wasn't Allie Highsmith
we'll
drafted?
Get that expert analysis.
I'm just saying it's you get a lot of productive guys that weren't drafted for. I mean. Darius Bowman, I was watching things on Bobby Reed last night, the Oklahoma State quarterback. I mean, he's making corners look stupid. And, okay, maybe he doesn't have some of the things you look, but he didn't even get drafted.
Apparently he has a major weed problem.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he got arrested to strippers.
I didn't even see him get signed by anyone yet. I'm sure maybe he did by now.
Maybe he got signed by a penitentiary.
It's hard to say why some of these guys don't get drafted because we don't have that inside knowledge of all this stuff like – I mean, Guyton, you would think, played well enough to get drafted. And here you are. Like, just take a guy like Mike Hart, okay? Played for the University of Michigan, played one of the toughest schedules every season, put up great numbers. He's sitting at home watching Matthew Slater get drafted ahead of him. So
yeah,
that's the NFL draft right there.
And, yeah, and you know what? He's the type of guy, based on what I talked to him at the Combine, that he'll have a, one of those Bobby Hamilton types with the list of losers that were drafted
ahead
of him.
He'll have a poster of Slater up.
No question.
Not, I don't know if you can find one, but a picture.
I got to think of the guy's name. I got to think of the guy's name, but Bobby Hamilton went on a
checklist.
I wouldn't call it a rant or a rampage, because it was so calm and funny that to call it something like that would indicate that he was like really bitter about it.
But it was there.
Where did he go? Southern Miss, I want to say. Bobby
I'm
Hamilton.
Sure where he
Mississippi
was.
State.
Somewhere down
Southern,
there.
One of those Mississippi schools. I think it was Southern Miss. Very lightly regarded guy, low draft pick. And he went off one day about a Patriots guy who was an undrafted free agent who went to Alabama. Oh, Reggie Grimes was his name. Reggie Grimes. And he goes, you got Grimes. He didn't even start at Alabama. He's in the league. And he just went off on all these SEC guys that, you know, just had everything handed to them. And then it was basically his little checklist, like Dustin Pedroia for the Red Sox. Guys
he's
that
got a checklist?
He's got a list of people that said he couldn't play. He says.
Am I on it?
Probably. Probably. Which one did Brett Favre go to? Southern Miss,
yeah.
Right? That's where Bobby Hamilton went, because he rattled off all the Southern Miss guys. And he was
Brett Favre.
And he goes,
this guy's getting drafted.
Well, he goes, yeah, this is when he was on his whole rant about, your backups at Alabama, they get drafted. He goes, Southern Miss, you got Hanford Dixon, cornerback, Cleveland Browns, Brett Favre, may have heard of him. And he just kept going on and on and on. It was very funny.
His last question is, do we think that another AFC East team or AFC team was looking at Kevin O'Connell, and that's why the Patriots drafted him as high as they did?
But I'm not Bill Belichick.
I have no idea.
I would say
I think they drafted him as high as he did because they knew that's where he was going to get drafted.
Yeah,
I think they liked him.
I think they liked him.
You know what I'd be wondering?
Man, genius.
You know, I'd ask Bill if it mattered, but we know that he won't say anything. What does O'Connell have that makes him a third-round draft pick in their eyes compared to Brady, who they drafted in the sixth round? You know, I mean, just coming out of school. I'm not talking about Brady. Just coming out of school.
Physical talent.
Why is O'Connell third and Brady sixth?
He's more physically talented. That's what I'd go
So
with.
Potential.
Now.
Like upside.
Right now.
Yeah, at that point in their career.
But at the stage of his career.
Pure physical talent.
I understand,
didn't know Brady was
going
to be
but as a college,
so hardworking
right.
and so driven
right.
and would, his reads were going to be as fast and he'd pick up a pro, all that crap. But pure physical run, throw, size, O'Connell's better.
Now, could it also be that, and I can't remember which quarterbacks were in, I know Spurgeon Wynn was one of them, but the quarterbacks that were in that draft when Brady was drafted, were there more talented quarterbacks in the top part of the draft than there were in this one? So maybe getting a guy like O'Connell that high might play into that, the fact that there's not that many to choose from.
God, this guy's worse than Spurgeon Wynn.
I don't know.
Anything?
I don't remember all the guys that were. I'm sure there was, because there was only two quarterbacks drafted in the first round this year, and one was later on a trade-up. So there's usually a couple.
Who was 2000? Like, what year was that?
I don't remember all the quarterbacks.
It was the year after Couch,
year.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe that was
That was
99,
a big quarterback
right?
draft. It was 99, I believe.
So maybe it wasn't then.
But I don't remember all the picks. I mean, I think it was Tim Rattay was in that draft with Carmarzy from Hofstra, Giovanni Carmarzy. I don't remember all the top-rated quarterbacks that particular year. Maybe that's a reason. Maybe there weren't that many.
A lot that goes into it. I mean, if a team takes a quarterback in the draft, then they're out of it. Or if a team took one last year, they're probably out. You know what I mean? How it all unfolds depends on what all the other teams need and want.
I know John Tomasi won't be asking him. The last time he asked him a question about O'Connell, I thought they were going to escort him out of the building.
He shouldn't ask about pretty much anything.
Great subject line here from Richard in Leicester, England.
Hey, Dick.
Great first 25 minutes. I suspect it's going downhill from here, though. That's because when I jumped into the host seat,
we got
about 25 minutes in.
I agree.
He said, hi, Andy, Paul, Tom, Fred, and Eric, I guess. I've been listening for about 4 years now and enjoy the show. You managed to put out every time.
We're like Lori?
Lori's not here. Even when the best thing to talk about is the preseason schedule. And even as hard as it is to believe when the leg is in the driver's seat, but please, never experiment with a solo leg show. trust me, we're not going to experiment with that.
Can you imagine what that? We should try it just to see.
No,
what
we should.
We should.
We're on vacation or something.
You'd be in art. You'd start talking art, wouldn't you? You'd fall back on art and politics.
Let's not worry about it because it's not going
to
happen.
I know one thing. It'd be the highest rated show of all time. Everybody would tune in just to see what it's like. I would if I was on vacation.
Just like they watch NASCAR. All right.
I also listened to the Football Today podcast from ESPN. They had a little part of the show this week about the prospects for next year. I can't remember the names, but I do remember that there were three linebackers in the top five or six players. I remember after all the bowls, but the talk about the players coming out, not your type of coming out, Eric, he says. A lot of the best linebackers decided not to come out of college this year. We were talking about that earlier, Tom, earlier shows, Maluga and Laurinaitis. Can you explain to me why players choose to stay in college when they are players that could have been a top 10 pick in a draft?
Want to win a national title? I mean, if you look at Laurinaitis and Maluga, those are two of the top seven or eight teams coming back in football. So, by the way, they play each other on September 13th. Ohio State and USC, so that's going to be a hell of a game. But Maluga apparently lost 15 pounds, so he's faster now. There's also Cushing is coming out next year. There's a guy from Southern Miss who's a highly regarded linebacker. There's definitely more big-time linebackers. And I don't know how he's going to be a top-five pick, but Selvey from South Florida, the pass-rushing defensive end, who's just a monster off the edge, he'll be involved there. So those are guys that if it was this year, the Patriots could have considered. But, you know, we're pretty sure they're going to be picking towards the bottom, you know, unless Brady gets injured.
I would say, by the way,
apparently,
that those guys made an error in judgment. You know, I know it's kind of unpolitically.
It's personal preference. It's like our other thing about who's better, John Morris or Ben Coates. Personal preference.
But I know it's unpolitically correct to say that, you know, you should leave school early. But I think especially in football, when you have an opportunity to be a top 10 or top 15 pick, you're only going down. And you look at recent past, recent history tells you that when they turn it down and they come back for that extra year, it hurts their draft stock.
Sam Baker, perfect.
They cost money.
Why are you?
How about Matt Leinart?
Sam Baker.
Brady Quinn.
Sam Baker.
Those guys cost themselves money. Brady Quinn cost himself money that he probably will never get back.
The quarterbacks in this year's draft. Last year it was going to be, who were the, Brom?
Getting into this Brian season, Brom is another
cost
example.
Himself a ton
cost
of
himself a lot of money.
And Colt Brennan were like talked about as first round picks. All of a sudden, they're not.
And by the way, those guys went back to school. In Brom's case, anyway, had a great year,
right?
And cost himself a lot of money. So, and I just think with the injury risks
personal.
And all that stuff. No,
it's a decision you promised your grandmother or your
absolutely.
Whatever.
Andy, I would never criticize a guy.
Oh, I think in any sport, if somebody dangles money in front of you, take it.
No,
you can go back to school when you're 30 if you want. Tom did it,
but if he wanted to do it, well, in
he
theory,
didn't have any money.
But if you wanted to,
in theory, he finished.
What I'm saying is, you don't have. I would never criticize a guy for the decision either way. I'm just saying, if it was me, I would think that I would consider it an error in judgment.
My argument.
That's all.
My argument with the money thing, though, is if a player is as good as he thinks he is or as good as a team thinks he is to draft him that high, if he comes out a year later and he falls a little bit, if he's that good and he proves himself in the NFL, the money will come.
No, it won't.
No, it won't.
I say
I'll
it
give
will.
You. I'll give you You're an wrong. Example. What's his name for Dallas, Tennessee corner? Goodrich that they drafted in the second round. The worst player in NFL history, by the way. But he was a junior, and that's the game that he just shut down.
Dwayne Goodrich.
Yeah. He just shut down Warwick in the championship game, and it was because they had a backup quarterback, Florida State. And he was considered a
Marcus Outzen.
Yep, and he was considered a top 5 to 10 draft pick. He went back to school. After that draft, Kuiper actually had him rated 6th coming out the next year. He didn't go into the middle of round 2 because he had a bad senior season. So you're talking about the money that he lost. I mean, he still would have stunk if he was taken 7th, but the money that he lost going back to school. So what Paul's saying is Maluga, they're projecting as a top 5 pick, as one of the top linebackers to come out in years. So
if he doesn't go in the top 5 next year, he cost himself money that he won't get back.
He can only go down. He can only now.
And he will. We know that. The longer the look, the more bad things they seem to find.
If
two guys are even, the NFL guys will go with the underclassmen.
Right. Now,
sorry, Tom.
I'm just saying you could argue Laurinaitis had such a terrible bowl game that maybe that's the last thing people kind of thought of him, that he wanted to go back to rebuild his draft status. But Maluga, by everyone's account, would have been a top 5 to 7 pick this year, will be a top 5 to 7 pick next year. So the only reason he's going back to school is because he's trying to win a national title.
And not to mention, as we move down the road here and more people complain about salaries in the top 10, it could change at any, all of a sudden they start changing formats and there's less money the following year.
Brom would be the classic case.
Right.
Because he's top 10 last year. There's no doubt about it. And now he's a second rounder.
Well, I realize that, but I don't know. If you're
what
that
I'm saying,
good,
even if the guy pans out,
You lost money.
You know, let's go Brady Quinn.
Jake Long is the highest paid offensive lineman. So that means no guy who proved himself to be great is making more than Jake Long.
Brady Quinn, okay, let's just say he even gets the opportunity to play and puts himself in line for that second contract.
Mm-hmm.
Jamarcus Russell got what Tom Brady makes. That's what Brady Quinn would have been the year before if he had come out. He would have been the number one overall pick. So you're talking about $30 million guarantees, you know, six-year, 60-whatever million-dollar contract. The chances of him getting a six-year, $60 million contract with 30-plus guaranteed 4 years from now when his rookie deal is out are almost negligible. I mean, he would have to do something completely out of them. There's so much more pressure for him to do that, and I still don't think he would get that amount of money. I think
it
would
be a pass rusher.
I think
the
argument
want.
Against it would be, well, now you're 5 years into your career now. You know.
But I'm saying,
how long are you going to play?
Yeah, but look, guys like Elway, Favre, they didn't just make their money off their contract. They had endorsements. Like,
but that's great, not. But you're arguing
you're
if you're that
about two of the greatest guys to ever play football.
I'm just throwing those names as
and
examples.
And you're arguing different things too. I mean, Brady Quinn is in endorsements now, and he's making money, but not the amount of money.
The playbook in college was this big.
And yeah. Maualuga isn't going to – I mean, Ray Lewis is one of the few Urlacher maybe that gets endorsed. If you're a linebacker, there's not endorsement deals knocking down your door.
No, I realize that, but I don't you guys think that the amount of money these guys make, does a couple of million dollars here and there really matter
but
at that point?
But they lose it.
I know they lose it, but how much
does
it really affect
them? I think a couple of million dollars matters.
And it falls off kind of fast in the – when you start saying number 3 pick, number 6 pick,
and
number 9 pick.
Or in Brady Quinn's case, 23.
Right. Or Brian Brom is, that's a ton of money.
Right.
A ton of money.
Well, yeah, that's.
I'm sorry. If Brian Brom
wins
the job.
I'm not crying poor for these guys. I mean, you're right, Garrick. They're still making a good living. They're still making millions of dollars. I'm just saying they cost themselves a lot of money that I don't think the chances are they'll ever get back. Is it impossible that they'll get it back? No. Brady Quinn could turn out to be a superstar, and when he signs his next contract, like Tony Romo signed his second deal, he might get a Tony Romo contract, the second deal, instead of the first. But it's still, to me,
still the second
he would have gotten the first one in the $60 million and the second one for another $60 million. So it's still, to me, money that he won't recoup.
Right. That's the flaw in your argument, because if he's good in your scenario, he gets a great second deal. But in your scenario, he would have been good
in the first
high pick, so he would have had a great first deal and a great second deal. He would have had a deal he didn't earn and a deal he earned.
Well, that brings up a whole other discussion about what amount of money rookies should make.
And I'm glad you brought this up because I'm sick of this whole, no, everybody keeps saying, well, you know, maybe they should go to something like the NBA where it's clearly slotted and the contracts are fair early. Well, if you want to go with the good part of the NBA, the fact that they get a three-year, $4 million deal, you got to take the bad part is guys in their fourth and fifth year getting max
quote-unquote
contracts. They play 3 minutes a game with 2.7 points and are making $85 to $100 million over the next 7 or 8 years.
Ben Wallace.
Players get their money on one end or the other, owners. So you can't just say, you know what, we're going to cut out the rookie. Well, then you got to infuse that money elsewhere.
That's one thing I don't really like about Goodell. And I've been very, very much for a lot of what he's done. And I've been outspoken about a lot of what he's done on a positive way. But I think he's too reactionary. Whenever the issue of the moment comes up,
he makes a ruling.
Yeah, he seems to come
like thinking about it.
You know,
just make a ruling.
Can you imagine a commissioner going on a radio show and saying, "Yeah, I do think we should have a rookie salary cap"? Are you kidding me? This is something you're going to be negotiating in a few months. You know, there's no way I think he makes some errors.
Same
in judgment.
Thing with the Rams. Are the Rams on the clock? No, they're not on the clock.
Right.
Well, maybe they were.
Well, I'll check. Let me check.
We'll look
on
into that moving forward. Well, you should have known the answer.
One other guy you could make an argument for who never made that money is McGahee. He was guaranteed to go three to the Bears. Guaranteed. And the team might have traded up to get him even higher. So he goes in the 20s, and then he gets another contract now. But he
Which
never,
was good. But
right,
not,
but he never got that
three
number
money.
Three money because he injured his knee on his final game. Because he went back, you know what I mean? So there's that, too, where Maualuga might break his, you know, destroy his knee. There's just always, you're taking a risk.
That's the biggest part
it's
of it,
like,
to me, is the injury factor. Because football, I mean, you get hurt
It's like
football.
Jerry Maguire, what he said to Cuba Gooding Jr. It's a risk. And that's when it hits a risk when you're playing with money, because you never know which way it's going to shake out.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Hey, Leg, you want me to rattle off some 2,000 quarterbacks? Gary printed out the 2,000 draft.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
We'll start in the first round. I'm just going to start reading the names off. We don't have to analyze every one of them. But Chad Pennington was one.
Okay.
We go down to round three to Giovanni Carmarsi. Awful. So obviously this was a thin quarterback draft. Just the fact that those two guys were the, you know, were three rounds in, and that was the first two picks. Chris Redman.
You're going round by round, it looks like. A lot of pages flipping.
T. Martin.
Oh, wow.
This was a very weak quarterback class. Round six, Mark Bulger. Good pick.
Okay, good pick.
So apparently,
round six was the draft to get quarterbacks. Exactly. By the way, this was the, you know how they call, like, 1983 was the year of the quarterback because all those first rounders. Evidently, round six of the 2000 draft is where all the quarterbacks. Yeah. None of them were good except for Bulger and Brady. But Spurgeon, Wynn, Todd Brady with the for the Patriots. Todd Husak.
He said Todd Brady for a second.
Jawan Sider. I don't even know him. Hey. Tim Rattay in the seventh round. Jarius Jackson wasn't really a quarterback as a pro. Joey Hamilton. I loved Joey Hamilton in college.
Who did he play for?
Georgia Tech.
Oh, God.
Little 5'10 guy.
He was just so small. I loved him in college.
But even Rattay had a better NFL career in the seventh round than most of those guys in the third and fourth round.
Oh, Adalis Thomas got drafted. Gary wanted to point it out.
In the sixth, right?
Because he likes all the Patriots.
Yeah, he's sort of Fred. More quiet Fred.
He did circle Patrick Pass later on in the draft, too.
That's the draft where I said, I just don't know anything about football. This is Adalis Thomas. I had him like a first-round draft. And I was right again, Gary.
I was wondering how long it was going to take him to say that.
508-543-7482 is the phone number. John from Palm Bay, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What's happening?
Hey, I was watching ESPN a couple of days ago, and they said you could rate your draft about 3 years ago, so I was wondering if you go back 3 years when Patriots drafted, what kind of rating would you get? And my other question is, since I live in Florida and don't really hear much about the Patriots, when will you guys have a list of the undrafted free agents the Patriots have signed?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I would imagine the Patriots would announce that tomorrow. So
we will have that for you. We'll have the tryout guys, or the best of our ability, we'll have the tryout guys. We'll have it all tomorrow for the opening of rookie minicamp.
And, yeah, we have two-a-days tomorrow. Andy.
Yeah.
We have an hour practice in the morning. We have
kind of weak-ass two-a-days.
Well, kind of I like.
2 1-hours. Yeah.
I'm pacing myself.
Yeah, too bad they didn't do this. Did they do this last year with that fat guy who almost died? Out of the offensive lineman out of Oklahoma State?
I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's where you weren't here, Andy, because you were taking the weekend off.
I think I was where was I?
Yeah, I was here. I was here on the Friday, and I was here on the Saturday.
Yeah. You were here on the Saturday? Did you
yeah, it was
I thought Tom did the thing.
It was
I think
one of,
Tom did the thing solo,
it was one of the few. No, it was one of the few times that I actually got to see a Saturday practice. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was the year before you were here, because that's when you fell in love with Chad Jackson.
No, I fell in love with Chad Jackson when he stood in front of 17 jugs machines.
But the 05, the 05 draft is interesting, too, because the picks were kind of spread out. If I remember, they had Mankins in the first round, and then they didn't have a second round.
No, they have three third rounders.
I thought it was two.
Yeah, the other one was traded. You're right. It's for Starks.
That was a good trade.
That was a bust.
So you got Hobbs and
count Wes Welker and Randy Moss. That pick sucked.
Right. You got Hobbs and Kazier as starters. That turns out to be a pretty good draft.
Yeah, and then you got Castle, who was ended up being the backup as a seventh round pick, and you had Stokes and Claridge, who didn't do anything. That's a pretty good draft. I mean, you got one superstar in Mankins. You got three starters.
I mean, you could argue that the merits.
Sanders, Hobbs, and Kazier.
Jimmy Sanders in that draft. That's a great draft.
Yeah, that's a good draft.
Yeah.
That's a good draft.
Say for Hobbs and Kazier, it might have taken like a
I would imagine that the average per team per draft of starters 3 years later is probably lower than four, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I would say.
I mean, so four starters is pretty good. You have one, as Tom said, one great one, and three serviceable guys. You could argue how good those other three guys are,
but they're serviceable starters,
and I think that they would be able. I think they would be players for virtually any team. I wouldn't say every team, but they're players. So yeah. I think that's a pretty solid job. John in L.A. wanted us to do that too. I saw an email from him earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Look back three years because
that's
you can't grade it now.
2004 draft, that was garbage.
Oh, it's funny because the other day on the show, Fred was joking and he said, "What should we do? Analyze the 2005 draft today?" And you know,
thanks for the call, John.
Actually, a good point.
Did John just hang up on us?
Apparently, you bored him. He said. You didn't hear it because you were talking, but he whispered in my ear only.
I bored
Paul's
him.
Paul's boring. Bye, guys.
Actually, the 2004 draft, for some reason, Cincinnati traded Corey Dillon for a second-round pick, so it ends up being better.
That was a good pick there.
Okay.
Well, that's the new thing you do. Bill emphatically stamped it last year that you count the trades for the picks in his mind
as a draft pick.
Since when do you
take what Bill says as
I always
listen
gospel. To Bill. Man's a genius.
Okay.
Ever since I found out you can search on Google and come up with all the words from these podcasts on Patriots.com.
That's a good point.
Want to get back to that in mind, Tom.
I want to get back to that salary conversation we were having earlier about
rookies.
You just
can't let it go.
Well, because my theory is this.
Flawed.
In the real world, if you're a 22, 23-year-old kid, you just graduated from college, no matter what your grades were, if you were 4.0 or whatever, you're not going to go into a job and get the money of a guy who's been there 10, 15
that's
years.
That's not the argument, though.
Football's not the real world.
They're
well, that's what I'm
gonna
saying.
Make more money. That's like saying Asante Samuel should have taken less to play here. You're worth what you're worth. You know, Fred's paying me a good salary, but I want more. Feel like I'm worth more.
But you definitely, yeah, but you would be worth more than a kid who's like Kyle, who just graduated from college and comes in
I'm
here.
I'm worth more than you, and I got a feeling we're making about the same.
But
I agree with Tom.
No, but when you're just getting out of school, you get an entry-level job for entry-level pay, and you prove yourself. And the more you prove yourself,
though,
that's how it works in the real world.
No, it doesn't.
But first of all, sports aren't the real world.
Yeah, it's not always how it works in the real world. It's not how it works.
I'm generalizing, Tom. But in most cases, you're not going to be a kid coming
out. Google came right out of college making $100
billion. That's a ridiculous exception.
Chris Gasper?
Who's making more money?
Chris Gasper?
I guess that's not how it works.
Younger
Chris
by
Gasper,
far, more by far.
Chris Gasper worked here as an intern, got hooked on with the Globe, because where did he go to school? Somewhere around here?
Florida State.
BU.
BU.
Oh. And he went to Florida State.
He, you know, I'm not attacking people with money or Chris Gasper, because I love people with money. But people with money have better opportunities. I mean, he went to BU, he got hooked up. You know, I didn't have a lot of money. I ended up in some douchebag college in Vermont, and luckily Fred answered my email, and here I am.
In general, I'm saying my point is the harder you work as a young kid, the better your chances are that you're going to move up and get a better job and better
pay. I don't
think
that's true at all.
So I'm saying in the NFL and sports in general, if you're a rookie just coming into the league, you've done nothing. You've proven nothing that you can do in this league. Everything you've done is in the past. High school, college, you were great, fine. You were a Heisman Trophy winner. You come to the NFL, you have to start all over again. And
it's
I'm saying
it's never going to be that way.
I'm floating the theory out there, Tom. If the leagues start off with a bare minimum salary for rookies, and if you're a draft pick, maybe you get an extra $10,000-$20,000 bonus. Second round, you get 15, whatever. Your contract is for two or three years, and then after those 2 or 3 years, you generally have an idea if the guy can play and if he's going to stick around in the league. At that point, you get the money that you deserve if you're that good, and the veterans who've been in the league for a few years get the money spread out to them, like they. Because if you're a guy who's been in the league 10 years and you've,
I understand your point, Eric. But here's the
problem. You're making a lot less than a kid who just came in here.
If Vernon Golston is getting a $10,000 bonus, he's going to get drafted by the New York Knicks, not the New York Jets. People will start playing other sports,
or he'll just go be an engineer or whatever somewhere.
Well, I don't know about that. Went to Ohio State.
But Eric, you said my Google thing is flawed and ridiculous.
I didn't say it was flawed and ridiculous.
But it isn't because these people are projected to be as rare as the guy who created Google or some other company.
Yeah, they're projected.
In any industry, if you're the great hot prospect, you make a lot of money.
Do you know how much money these guys are generating? They're part of this league that makes billions and billions of dollars. When you draft a Vernon Golston, that's excitement. New York has excitement.
I realize that, but Mr. Kraft said it the other day at his little press conference for the entertainment venue. He said, we have to start, I'm paraphrasing now, we have to start thinking about getting a way to redistribute the money that we have to the guys who've been here and have played already, because there's a discrepancy.
Yeah, and no offense to Mr. Kraft, he's on the other side of the fence. He's one of the owners who doesn't want to pay the money.
And the problem I just said is the money's going somewhere.
Yes.
So either Fernando Bryant is making $10 million a year or Jake Long is making $10 million a year.
How much money Mr. Kraft is making through this league?
No, I know that, but I'm saying the money should be going to the guys who've been in the league and proven they can play. Now, if you're a rookie, I don't care how well you project. You have to actually do it.
Do you know how the NBA works? The example I brought up earlier.
Yes, I do, Andy.
And crappy players end up making ridiculous money. They're just not rookies. They're crappy players.
See, Andy's point is it's not going to save the owners a dime.
The money's
because,
just going to be distributed differently and
wasted
elsewhere.
In the NBA, what happens, and I kind of like the way the NBA does it better, because at least you had to have proven yourself, and then you get overpaid at the end of your career.
Well,
I like that better than a guy having done nothing and getting overpaid and then having the possibility of flaming out and never having deserved it.
The trouble
is, Fernando Bryant's the guy you just brought up, Andy.
Well,
I'd rather have him make $5 million more than he's worth 10 years into his NFL career than a guy making $5 million more than he's worth without ever having played a down of football.
But the problem is you end up in the NBA thing where it's a third, fourth year, you have to make a decision. So a guy like Ellis Hobbs, who was, you know, he played some, then he was starting, and you say he's pretty athletic. He's developing into a number one corner.
I know what you're saying.
$10 million a year. And then and last then year you go, son of a bitch.
And then the argument's going to be, why did you give Ellis Hobbs all that money?
Right. No. You're still going to complain about
our
credit.
Well, that's
why
you're making too much
money. Here's where I totally agree with you, because the owners aren't going to save a dime.
The only other
way
to go.
The salary cap is going to stay, and it's going to keep rising with revenues.
Right.
It's a percentage. So it's not going to start all of a sudden going down because you institute a rookie salary cap. I agree with Eric's overall premise. I think it's unfortunate that guys come into the league without ever having proven themselves and make more money than a lot of veterans do. However, it's not going to help the owners because it's just going to hit them on the back end. They want to spread the money more evenly. That doesn't help their bottom line.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's a little bit flawed, and I think it's a lot of kicking and screaming right now. And again,
plus they're all flawed.
So what's the answer?
Answer is not to have you, Commissioner, with your $10,000 signing bonus.
No, but seriously, they're all flawed. Is baseball fair where some guy is in arbitration for 4 or 5 years after he is clearly Jonathan Papelbon is clearly one of the top handful of closers in baseball, making, because the Red Sox felt generous, making $785,000 or something like that.
Right.
Is that fair?
That's the system. So whatever system that you play in is fair.
That's the right. That's the system. You play by the rules.
I realize that.
I think there's some unfortunate aspects to all of them.
Right.
But they're all flawed. They're all flawed.
There has to be a way to figure out a fair and equitable way to distribute the money to players. There has to be.
Well, do you have a suggestion?
There's a lot of
I gave you a suggestion. You guys shot it down.
Well, wait a minute.
All right. Let me rephrase
that.
Do you have a reasonable suggestion? Because giving a guy a $10,000 signing bonus isn't a reasonable suggestion. I legitimately could go out in the open market and get a $10,000 signing bonus for something.
Here. I was just throwing a number out there.
But Eric, listen.
Whatever the number you want it to be.
This is where you're being a little pompous, saying there has to be. There's four leagues made up of some of the greatest businessmen in this country, some very intelligent people.
Which is why I'm
and
saying
none
that
of them have come up with a perfect system.
But you have four examples now in these four leagues over the last 20, 30 years.
Well, they've all changed.
They've changed.
They've all evolved. And the NHL instituted a new salary cap a couple years ago. The NFL has changed a number of times over the years in terms of the growth of the revenue.
It's a work in progress.
The cap has gone.
Right.
The NBA has changed. I mean, they're all trying to tweak it and find
but
it.
It's but always, you can
they'll
go
never
anywheres.
Be a perfect solution.
You can go anywheres and do this. If Mike Tyson came back,
right.
Who do you think is going to make more money, the heavyweight champion of the world or Mike Tyson? Who do you think makes more money, the best MMA star or Kimbo Slice? It's
right.
It's like that no matter where you go. It's some people, it's
there's
it's
some
hard
pissy
to
jazz singer somewhere who's saying, I'm so much better than Jessica Simpson and Britney Spears. And he makes his $200,000 a year doing small clubs like Showcase Live out here and gets pissed because he's watching these hacks make millions.
How about the fact that Andy managed to get a shot in at the Patriots for that?
Well, no, but that's what that's going to be. Jazz singers who are good but don't draw more than 1,000 people.
I'm just teasing you.
It's not fair.
I don't think
we talked about Dr. Phil.
Eric.
The guy makes $90 million.
Right.
He does absolute crap.
Just sits
absolutely
there and goes,
nothing.
Uh-huh, I understand.
Talentless
oh, well.
But he makes $90 million. That's not fair. There's some doctor somewhere who's helping some kid come over molestation, and that doctor's making his normal $65,000 a year.
See,
that's not fair.
That's a great, you know, you started it off. And I don't think you're wrong about the whole thing with rookie salaries. They're out of control. I think the original premise is okay. But
Dr. Phil
that's,
loves
you started comparing it to real life. That's the real life.
Right,
parallel.
There's always
Dr. Phil. I mean, I don't know what the reason
he's
is.
A clown.
But people watch.
Dr. Phil loves me.
You put
sounds
some,
like John Hannah.
You
that's
put
it.
Some other clown out there, and maybe the, you know, the people in Iowa don't watch. I don't know. I don't understand it. But right now, they watch Dr. Phil. Right. And Andy's comparison is perfect. You know, some poor guy that's you know, languishing in obscurity that's helping some kid
people.
Get over, you know, some but serious
that's
issues
that's
is making
and,
nothing.
That's apples and oranges because you're
just
comparing
like
two different professions.
To real, you compare people coming out of college to football.
That's
We're
why
to play
I don't
your
think
game.
Your whole thing of whoever
Dr.
works.
Dr. Phil is a therapist.
I don't
is
think
he not?
Whoever works the hardest gets
a therapist,
the,
but not a,
gets all the money. Let me ask you a
question.
There's
luck involved. There's all kinds of stuff involved.
I just told Allison the other night the story of Bill Simmons. You don't think any one of us could have gone down that path, started a blog? I mean, listen, more to Bill. God bless him. I'm not saying anything negative about him, but he quit the newspaper, right? And he made a blog, and it got popular. Now he's on ESPN. You know, some of it's just luck. You know what I mean? Like, it's not who works the hardest.
And if 10 guys, and you know that I'm not the biggest, but I know Bill Simmons pretty well because I worked with him. You guys all know I'm not the biggest Bill Simmons fan in the world. However,
you see him at a Super Bowl and hug.
If 10 different guys did exactly what Bill Simmons did the same day Bill Simmons did, I'm going to guess that Bill Simmons is going to be the one that was going to emerge.
Okay,
because he has talent.
Let me give you a specific example. The 2005 draft, they drafted Ellis Hobbs. Okay? They had Asante Samuel on the roster, and he wasn't the Asante Samuel he was now, but he was getting there. He was getting there. So 3 years later, I think we all agree Hobbs has not lived up to what we thought he probably could be or should be. Okay? If you pay him a much smaller salary,
he's a third-round draft pick.
But my point is you pay him a smaller salary than he's even getting now. Okay? You have a lot of money left over to possibly give that money to the player, Asante Samuel, who's proven that he can play and deserves that money.
Again, he's a third-round draft pick. How much money did you give him?
I'm saying every rookie that comes in should be paid the same.
The same?
Well, see, I disagree with that.
This isn't flat
base salary the same. You can give them bonuses for when they were drafted or their projections or whatever.
Bonus.
Whatever
well,
it is.
That's the system now. They all have the same salary.
I was going to say, all their base salaries are the same based on the year that they're playing in the league, basically.
But their bonuses are exorbitant.
Right. Well, you just said you're allowed to have bonuses.
You lost me. I don't know what that word means.
Big.
Really big.
Are you a communist?
No.
I am.
I'm saying the guys that prove themselves should be the ones who get paid.
Do you well, think
that's a great little theory? It
but do you think the
anywhere.
Patriots lost Asante Samuel because of money?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
I do. I didn't think they wanted to pay him that.
Right. And, yeah, but not because they didn't have the money.
If they not
because
they didn't have it.
They
but
didn't
they
think
didn't
the
want
player
it.
Was worth that money.
Right. Because
not because they didn't have that
because
money.
Because they
to
have
spend.
To worry about other players that they have to pay
well,
a lot of money to.
I don't think they would pay anybody that.
But they'd always have to worry about that. Because in your little scenario where they don't have to pay Gerard Mayo $14 million. They now have to pay Tom Brady $25 million per year,
and he deserves it. If that's,
but it's
if
the
that's
same
the system
issue.
You're playing,
they don't sign Asante Samuel in either scenario.
I don't get what you're. It's not like that in real life either.
I mean, it's not like that in real
okay.
life.
Okay, don't you think Paul should make a lot more money than me? He's been here longer.
Yep.
He's a better writer. He does more work. He should make.
Who
more
is this man? And what have you done with Tom?
Does more
no,
work.
But
you going to be here Saturday?
But it's true. But he should be making now. Apparently,
one time he comes in on the weekend, you think I'd ask him to build a pyramid.
Apparently, he does now after his latest bonus. But before that bonus, I don't think Paul made a lot more money than me, because there's only so much money Paul can
bonus.
Make here. You know what I mean? Like you're saying, like.
But you're not 22 years old, just coming out of college, Tom.
But what's the difference?
Because that's what I'm comparing it to. I'm comparing it to the rookies
took,
who are just coming
whoever
out.
Whoever took my job, whether they'd be 22 or 40 like me, would have been paid the same.
Okay.
Is this a personal issue?
Let's take it a step
no,
over the...
You seem very passionate, and you rarely have passion.
Yeah. I'm trying. I'm
so
turning over a new leaf. I'm trying to bring passion.
In my eyes, some kid just came out of college in Rhode Island, painted a picture. He's 21 years old, sold it for $25,000, and
you're
pissed.
Mad.
No, no.
Because you've been painting for 15 years and suck.
But you just said Tom's not a 22-year-old kid coming out of college.
Right.
But when he got here... He was 30, whatever, 32, but he was
coming out of college.
But he was a 22-year-old coming out of college.
So Stephen Neal should have made $10 million a year when he signed because he was like 29.
I mean, Tom had no prior experience, really, so he came in behind Andy and I. And that's the way it works.
All right.
But, I mean, our salaries probably aren't
so
all that
sad?
Different.
Because I'm having difficulty making my point, I guess.
No, you've made your point.
It's a terrible one.
No, I just – no, I thought you made your point
just
fine.
Just kidding.
All right.
We just disagree. Yeah, you don't have to get all –
No, no. I don't
no
think,
one's right or – it's just –
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. I just think that's the system.
I thought
like Andy
you had a fine – you made your point.
All right.
It's a fine point.
Oh, who's at the door now, Gary?
Hi, everybody. I'm Butch Stearns from Fox 25. And now, I promise, it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
This is one of the
It's a grimace-inducing
Could
one,
it be any
it
worse
like.
Than that John Daly topless golfing picture?
Yeah, this one really bothers me.
He's got a look on his face I've never seen before.
Well, it involves poop. I don't like poop.
You don't?
Today's,
How
I don't know why
How could you possibly say
today.
That?
You spent most of your life with it.
Poop and sex don't mix in my mind. Poop and sex need to stay separate.
I agree on that.
This one, I don't know why, but it's the Vermont paint job. That's the Vermont paint job.
Let me see it. Is this an honor of Tom's Vermont college?
It's not that bad,
oh, okay.
Tom. It just really bothers me. Cause it's,
that's where you went to college, right, Tom?
That,
feels like
it,
something
it
that could happen.
Gross, yeah.
Like the other ones were freakishly gross. I thought they all could kind of happen. This one, I feel like I could have been at Treasures in Houston and gotten a Vermont paint job.
You didn't like it up there, did you, Tom? Vermont.
What do you mean like?
Did you have fun in Vermont when you were in college?
Fun? No one has fun. It's
is that why it's the Vermont paint job?
I'm not a druggy ski bum. I mean, those are the people you...
They had fun.
So I guess.
Different crowd.
On drugs
Let me put
skiing.
It this way. There was two people there I talked football with, and I had to push myself to
talk
hold
to
a conversation with them.
Really?
You know the kind of people that are in Vermont.
Of course.
Eric would fit right in.
He would.
I don't take drugs.
You should be a professor up there.
I do not take
drugs.
They're
all a bunch
Never
of
have.
Pompous SOBs like you. I think they Whoa. Own the world up there.
All right. Well, maybe that part's true.
quick side note. Andy Studebaker, the college, Tom, that he went to, if you get divorced and you're a professor, fired.
What?
If you're a professor there and you get divorced, they fire you.
Really?
They have strict Bible
Where
interpretations.
Did he go?
Wheaton College
in Illinois.
No divorce for professors.
That sounds very much
illegal.
Illegal.
Like it could be, yeah. All right. Mensa from the Bronx says, hey, guys, how y'all doing? I hope you're doing well. I hope you are ready to have constructive discussions instead of all the bickering of late. Well, we just had one for the last half hour. Now
I'm not sure it was constructive. We didn't really come up with a solution.
At least we're thinking about it.
Just the three of us told you your idea was dumb.
Hold on a second.
He pulled a Fred. He's flailing his hand. Something happened. It disappeared.
Now on to my question. How about the Patriots signing Sean Alexander to help Bosa the backfield? Also, how about the Patriots giving up next year's second and fifth round picks to the Bengals for Chad Johnson and also a draft pick to the Eagles for Lito Shepard to Bosa
no.
the corners? How many draft picks are we giving up here?
This is why we're always bickering, because we get emails like that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the Bengals turned down two first-round draft picks for Chad Johnson, so I don't think a second and a fifth is going to get it done. What was the first one?
Sean Alexander.
Why do we need to bolster the backfield? Anybody think the backfield needs bolstering?
Not especially with a has-been.
Yeah, certainly not with him.
No, but do you think the backfield needs bolstering?
Well,
period.
I mean, like we talked about, a third-down back, if you could bring in something like that.
I mean, when the biggest need is to groom a third-down back of the future,
yeah.
I don't really think your backfield needs bolstering. I mean...
By it's the just way, a name people
like
heard
he's
of.
He's going to Cincy, right? Sean Alexander.
Sean Alexander. That's a terrible spot.
Well, they were just joking because Rudy Johnson averaged 2.6.
That's
last
why
year.
I said it was a terrible
the
spot.
The 3.4 for Alexander is an upgrade.
They got two guys who are going to average 2.5 yards a carry.
Together, they'll average 5 if you add them.
And the Lito Shepard, listen, if they were going to get him, they'd have got him. I'm sure they looked into it. The price is too high. That's it.
The most intriguing one in my mind is young Jason Taylor. Because when I read the story that he visited the Miami headquarters and walked into the room to meet Bill Parcells, Bill was watching film, turned to him, looked at him, and then turned around and looked back at his thing and just totally ignored him. That tells me it's just one of those volatile things.
Word is that they want, I mean, Jacksonville, I think, was interested. Tampa Bay was interested, but the asking price is too much.
But you know what? If Bill Belichick swoops in at the right time when Parcells is just pissy.
You know what? Bill Parcells isn't the coach of that team, though.
You know, and we also haven't talked about that at all. Did you tell me
he doesn't make the decisions down there?
No, he makes decisions, but I'm saying he doesn't necessarily have to get along with Parcells.
If he doesn't want him there, he won't be there.
Did you see what he did
to Taylor?
He's the biggest baby
on the planet.
Oh, God.
What?
Taylor went in to talk to him. Did you see that story?
Did he just pull a Fred?
Yeah, he did.
I'm sorry.
He just told the story.
I was thinking that I was watching the ACC picks, and I totally wasn't paying attention.
What in the hell is going on?
But the thing about Parcells, and I think you guys will agree, is whatever problem he has with Taylor, he's not stupid. I mean, he's not going to get rid of his best football player for peanuts because he doesn't like him, that he's dancing
on
TV.
Spiteful and emotional.
Yes,
that's
I agree.
Problem.
But
and if he decides I get a
why
trade
would
him,
that ever be a good football move to trade him to the Patriots?
It wouldn't be a terrible move.
Especially him knowing Belichick, knowing what he's going to do with a guy like that.
Right. I agree
you,
with that.
What do you think is going to happen with Shepard? Do you think he's going to end up staying with Philly? Or is there going to be a deal sometime
before? I think he's going to get traded at some point.
Maybe. I would have thought that he for sure would have been traded, but I'm surprised that he hasn't been dealt by now.
And they're still taking. I think they want to still trade him.
Yeah, you see what happens in the post draft. Yeah.
You know, the Jags have been rumored to have called and gotten in on it. I mean, they're really making a move, Jacksonville, to try and get up there with the. And that's something we said last year in the playoffs. They seem like they're a couple players away. Maybe they didn't get the couple players, but I like that they're at least trying to get the couple players.
Which team do you think had the best draft?
Pittsburgh.
I'd probably agree with that, actually.
And I'd also go Atlanta. I liked what they did.
Yeah. I liked what Atlanta did.
If you like Matt Ryan and you think he's a franchise quarterback, I think to get a franchise quarterback and a left tackle in the first round is
I just
good.
Like what Dimitroff did in his first time running a draft on his own. I think you know, like you said, if Ryan pans out, he looks like a genius. But overall, I think, you know, I think it's a loss for the Patriots having Dimitroff not here anymore.
I agree.
Maybe he was the brains. I thought a lot of. I thought the Eagles did well picking up a bunch of picks next year, still getting some players that can help them this year. You know, I thought the Redskins. I just said to Andy, I didn't realize for some reason it didn't register that they got Thomas the receiver, Malcolm Kelly the receiver, and Fred Davis the tight end, a good receiving tight end. That's really going to help Jason Campbell. You know,
trouble
with the offense.
Is if those guys are all dinks and everybody else hated them, then it's a terrible.
Yeah.
Draft.
And you never know.
I got to doubt all three of them are going to be, you know what I mean, total turds. They're all three great athletes. You got to think one of them is going to just be a great athlete.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482, the phone number. This is Matt from Quincy who has a Slater comment to make. Says, guys, I'm the one who sent Fred the video of Slater, and he obviously impressed me with his speed more than he impressed you. That's okay. I'm a big boy. I'll take my beating. I've bought lunch before for you guys, and if he doesn't make the team, I'll buy lunch again, and you guys can pick the place. This is where Andy pipes in to ask, why the hell didn't you just buy lunch anyway? If he does make the team, you owe me nothing, but I do feel he has a bit more promise than you give him credit for. Love the show, and the draft coverage was great. It's Matt and Quincy making a bet with you about lunch.
If Matthew Slater makes the team, you'll get one of our PFW in Progress t-shirts.
And the only reason you think he has promise is because Bill Belichick drafted him. There's nothing that you saw him playing football that made you think that. If you look back at his stats, it certainly doesn't make you think that. If you read about, you know, if you talk to people and read about his career through UCLA, it certainly doesn't make you think that.
And so, if you watch the video that Fred wasn't impressed with.
So basically you're just saying Bill Belichick drafted him in the fifth round. So
I'll take his word for it.
Right.
Based on last year's draft, it means he'll be cut like the other six picks after the first.
Because in his first 3 years, he didn't record a stat. You realize that?
Right.
So he didn't do – he absolutely did not do anything until he started returning kicks. Now, maybe he's the greatest kick returner known to man. I don't know.
According to his punter, he's the greatest special teams player in history at any level.
According to his coach, he's an average football player.
Wow. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Although I bet he would have had a stat if he went to Colorado. They have some system on special teams where you earn points. If you break a wedge, you get a point. If you cause a runner to turn back inside, you get a point.
We had like 18
points.
I like what that Dan Hawkins is doing there. Watch out for them this year.
I just didn't know what it meant.
You mentioned PFW merchandise,
yes.
Andy. We have
PFW
to
in progress.
We have to. Well, there is progress. I went to our graphics designer, whose job it is to try to create the design for those.
You brought her the.
I brought her. I brought her my caricatures.
She laughed.
And no. I said. I said, Are you working on the T-shirt designs? And she said, Well, she's like, well. I have the task of working on them, but she hasn't really been doing it because she doesn't think we're serious about it. So we have to get on her about getting this done.
We'll just tell Fred to tell her to do it.
We'll have to get this done.
Fifth round.
Long-armed Amazon woman.
Fifth round, right, for Slater?
Yeah.
That hasn't been a good round for Bill Belichick. Let me just read off some of these names for you. Dave Stachelski and Jeff Marriott.
Oof.
Hakeem Akbar.
Awful.
Dan Copen.
Well,
I just like the noise.
PK Sam.
Oh, yeah. Awful.
Ryan Claridge.
Yep, awful.
Ryan O'Callaghan. And then...
jury's still out.
Who we picked...
whoever we cut last year.
Who do we pick last year in the fifth round? Do you remember?
It was a couple of those. Then we have two of them.
Clint
Oldenburg.
Clint Oldenburg was the fifth rounder. So
makes it easy. They were all cut, though.
So in eight drafts...
Richardson might have been a fifth, though.
No. In eight drafts...
He was one of the four sixth rounders, I think.
They had two guys that made the team as fifth rounders or spent any significant time with the team, let me put it that way. And that's O'Callaghan, who's a backup, and Copen, who's a Pro Bowler.
Maybe that's why they were willing to give up that pick with the first trade, but then they got it back trading up for Slater. So
third round and fifth round have been two of Belichick's worst rounds. Now, he's been a little bit better in the third round lately, you know, with Hobbs and Kazier a couple of years ago and – but earlier in his career, he really struggled in that round.
Do you think it's different now because the third round is the first round of day two?
In
terms of teams resetting their board.
I do think that they like that aspect of it, I bet, because I think that Bill talks about that a lot, kind of, you know, resetting everything and having a plan going into the day. I think that's what made it easier to make that trade with San Diego.
It'll be interesting to see if any of these trends we follow long-term change because of
this. It certainly helped out the Lions, who moved up and got Kevin Smith, who we all like. And I think he'll start from day one
like him a lot.
In Detroit. No questions asked. And you have to wonder if they didn't have a chance to go back,
right.
reset everything, think about it, call the team. It's
right.
I kind of like it.
I liked it. I asked Bill once about the third round, but you know when he had these. I mean, I forget all of the third round picks, but they struggled. They had like Brock Williams and J.R. Redmond, and they had some guys that didn't necessarily pan out. And I asked them what it was about the third round that was tough, and he said it's probably the most challenging round because in the third round you're dealing with a lot of guys that have first round talent, but for whatever reason they slip to the third round. Now the reasons can be they got hurt as in their last year of college, they had some sort of off field issue that was major that's going to scare teams away, they had some kind of drop off in production 1 year from the rest of the career that made it hard to evaluate. For whatever reason, the third-round guys, he says, are first-round talents. Second-round guys sometimes aren't as talented as third-round guys, but they're safer, is the way he talked about it. And that makes the third round, bigger challenge to him. And this was this is a good 5 years ago, back when he used to talk to us.
Okay. Strippers has a question. He wants to know if he gets a refund on the T.J. Slaughter jersey he just ordered last week.
Guaranteed.
I don't know.
If you do, let
Chris Ferreira know, because obviously he wants one.
He might
too.
Actually just want to buy it from you to commemorate T.J. Slaughter's time here in New England.
That was unbelievable yesterday, Andy. When he was like three separate times he tried to get us to talk about how awful it was for T.J. Slaughter, and we're like, hey, don't forget Tim Mixon was cut too, just as an aside. And he was like, I don't care about Tim Mixon.
He's a nobody.
Guy got how many practice player of the week jerseys last year? I mean, at least
that's
he did
a
something.
Rhetorical question, I hope.
Yeah, it was, because I don't remember either. Here's an interesting email. I don't know if this guy's a first-timer or not, but I don't recognize the name. Jay in Beverly says, guys, topic I'd like to hear you discuss. I've been thinking about a derivative of the Patriots standard 3-3 involving Green, Seymour, and Vrabel on the line, Adalis Thomas, Mayo, and Harrison, with Merriweather and Sanders over the top, the cornerbacks being Hobbs and Bryant on the edges with Wheatley in the slot. From a pure passing situation, it seems like you can shut down the mid-range vulnerability of the team with this personnel. Harrison and AD can both blanket any tight end and can get after the passer. Harrison can cover
any tight
back.
End, either of them?
That's what he says. Harrison
I didn't
can
see
cover
that out of Thomas last year, I got to be honest with you.
Harrison can cover
I
any back.
About Rodney and,
Wheatley brings tremendous COD.
Harrison
can
cover any back.
And quickness and to match the Y. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
I'm not as optimistic about it as you are, to be honest with you, Jay. I agree with Tom and Andy. I think that Harrison would be vulnerable to some backs, and I think that the tight ends, I thought Rodney had a couple of outstanding performances in individual games. I thought he was outstanding against Dallas Clark in Indy, and I thought
when
Jason,
that was his only job.
And I thought Jason Witten also he did a pretty good job in Dallas, but I thought there were some other games that it wasn't quite as good, and certainly Adalis Thomas, I thought, did not cover the way we were led to believe he would.
From
I thought,
day one, he was
yes.
getting beaten camp.
Yep. Now, he had that big interception against San Diego, and everybody seemed to think that was a sign of his great coverage. It was a great athletic play in that he blew everybody away down the sideline once he had the ball in his hands, but I didn't see him make a lot of plays in the passing game thereafter. I don't know how you guys felt about it.
Nah, he should be rushing all along the quarterback,
anyway, though. There's not a lot of linebackers on the planet Earth who can run stride for stride with tight ends or backs. It's a matchup problem for him.
Especially guys who are 260-some
right.
pounds.
But we were led to believe that he could.
Yeah, we were led to believe a lot of things.
So that's...
I don't know. I'm just not as excited about
what
that,
was the front line?
That lineup.
Front line
Green.
Was
Vrabel,
yeah.
Green,
Vrabel and
Green,
Seymour.
And Seymour. Now, what happens
now,
to Wilfork?
Yeah, first of all,
Wilfork is off the field on third down.
Why wouldn't I just run?
Well, this is clearly a sub-package.
Yeah,
this is
Wilfork is off the field.
Third and 12 or something.
Wilfork is off the field on
yeah,
third down.
I mean,
down,
this
no
is a
you don't want to use that against the Bill Parcells defense. He'll run that draw on third and 8 all day against that.
Wilfork mentioned in his press conference a week or two ago about wanting to get in shape so he can be on the field
shortly
on
after
down,
saying,
so.
Where's that
Where's
cake?
The cake?
I came for the
he
cake.
He didn't have any, though.
But
so
all he
credit.
Talked about was the damn cake. And you were listening to him saying he wanted a pass rush.
Out of
he
humility.
Was
out of humility, he didn't have any cake.
I think maybe he was joking about the pass rush.
All right. Last email of the day is from Jason in Chiba.
It's be a long one.
Chiba,
Five
Japan.
Minutes to go, and he's calling
I don't like
it.
Him.
You don't like Jason in Chiba?
Not particularly.
He doesn't really. I don't think he feels the same way about you either. Said, I'd been hoping to send an email in during the draft, but Fred said he only wanted the best, so I opted out. Got no stones, as Andy the Head would say.
Ask this guy. Got no stones.
Tom didn't seem to be in a bad mood any time the Cowboys weren't picking, so I guess mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. He says, the suggestion came in last week about a Tom and Eric reality show. Whatever sounded great as you were reading it, but I think it falls apart on closer examination. Who would steal tequila and pretend to be Jewish? Who would be cantankerous and fight off the old ladies? Which one of the two of them could bust out with adventurous stories about bathroom trips? Are either of you willing to walk around with a soundboard and speakers playing We Do Join Dick for a while? I suppose I must leave it up to your judgment whether I'm miserable or not, since I am saved week to week by this show and all its cork-soaking, bitch-slapping, douche-canoeing glory. You guys truly are the resource of all resources for those who don't live in America and want to follow the Pats. And in my defense, a famous Japanese writer once said that
Yeah,
I didn't know there were any. That the two greatest privileges a person could have were being born a man and living in Tokyo. So I don't think I'm miserable.
Didn't we bomb them?
He doesn't
no disrespect to the Orientals.
What is it, Nagasaki and Hiroshima?
Yeah.
Something like that. Fat man and, what is it? Little guy? What's the second
name?
If you don't know it,
I forgot.
Then no one should know it because you're the pompous prick who
It'll come to me. He says, I don't think I'm miserable, except when I've got to listen to Eric try to sound smart. An insult to every Northeastern prep school graduate ever, even George Bush.
Wow.
Well, I'm on board with you, Tom. I don't like Jason and Chiba.
Now, is that the guy whose ass you kicked in your prep school?
No, that punk was from Chelmsford.
Since we're in the post-draft era, and he brought it up here, and we're probably going to have some slow shows in the coming weeks, I think one thing our emailers could start chiming in with in this little scenario of the Tom and Eric show is names for the show.
Names for the show. Well, that's
just
that's,
so you know, yeah. Yours are going to involve, you know.
How about Thump and Chump?
I was thinking the steer and the queer.
Hey, come on now. By the way, somebody brought up about us going to high school and college football games together. I would have no problem with that. I feel perfectly comfortable going to see a high school football game in Texas or California or
young
Pennsylvania.
Young boys in tight pants.
That's not what I meant.
Friday Night Lights.
But I think it would be more uncomfortable watching you walk around an art gallery or an art museum.
That would be worth
having a camera follow us around.
Miserable.
You wouldn't be miserable, Tom.
Yeah, I would be miserable.
Art is boring.
You don't know me very well, God. Eric. There's only certain things I do, and art is not in any
Plus,
of those.
Even the people that like art can't tell me it's not boring. You pompous people. It's boring.
I seen your website. It's boring.
Right. You walk down a hall and stare at something on the wall? That's stupid.
That's because you were never good at art, were you?
If
you were any good at it,
you're
would appreciate it.
You're not good at art. You like going to museums.
Eric, if I ever get any money, I'll give you $5,000 for something.
Really?
Yeah.
You wanted a painting of your dog, didn't you?
I ain't giving you $5,000 for
it.
No, but
I believe it was his naked ass.
Anyway.
Wait a minute. I'm not good at football, and I like watching football. That's the flaw to that argument.
You're saying you're not?
Right.
You played, I thought you were a superstar Division III linebacker.
Well, that statement right there tells the whole story. I like watching football, elite athletes.
First of all, superstar would be a gross misrepresentation.
Yeah, I left that moniker in high school.
All right, well.
Art is boring, just like you.
It's not boring. Just because you don't know anything about it doesn't mean it's boring.
Gary claimed we broke the show.
Gary's really not happy.
Why? You were asleep in there because I said the word P-R-I-C-K and you didn't care.
Gary, we set up for lunch on Tuesday? Okay,
yes.
So it's going to be Tuesday and Thursdays again next week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Catwalk, yeah, I do my little turn.